All right, good evening, everybody. I call the February 18th, 2025 regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature to order. Please stand for the pledge, followed by a moment of silent reflection.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. It's with gratitude and humility that I acknowledge that we are gathering on the ancestral homelands of the Mohican, Munsee Lenape, and Skaticook people, who are the indigenous peoples of Ulster County. To learn more about these tribes, past and present, please visit links available through our QR code. I'd like to take a moment to recognize that we are currently in Black History Month, which commemorates and celebrates the achievements and contributions of African Americans throughout history, highlighting their impact on American culture and society. It's a time to recognize the struggles and triumphs of Black people in the country and to learn more about the ways to honor the African American cultural legacy in Ulster County and Black History Month celebrations that are in the area. Please visit the links that are available through our session QR code. I call on Clerk Favella to read the announcements, and please call the roll.
Announcements. Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the session. Microphones. Please be reminded to use your microphones when speaking so you are recorded for the official record. Roll call. Clinton. Here. Collins.
Here.
Corcoran.
Here.
Criswell.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Gavaris.
Present.
Green.
Here.
Hansett.
Here.
Harmon.
Here.
Hewitt.
Here.
Kitchen.
Here.
Kovacs.
Here.
Levine.
Here.
Litz.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Maloney.
Here.
McCullough.
Here.
Nolan.
Here.
Roberts.
Here.
Sperry.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
Uchitel.
Here.
And Walls.
Here.
All are present, 23 present, and 0 absent.
I would like to now announce birthdays for the month. Legislator Kathy Nolan, February 1st. Congratulations. And Deputy Clerk Jay Mahler, February 23rd. Yay! Congratulations. I'd ask for a motion to dispense with the reading of the previous meeting's minutes.
So moved.
And a second? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. There are various communications listed and on file in the clerk's office that remain available for inspection by those interested. Just please contact the clerk. I'm now very pleased to grant privilege of the floor to Sule Melenciano-Weed, who is the director of the Ulster County Youth Bureau, and Myrna Rivera, who is the administrative assistant. The Ulster County Youth Bureau's mission is to provide safe spaces for youth of Ulster County to promote positive youth development in a diverse, equitable, and inclusive environment through programming, leadership, advocacy, mentorships, and collaboration. Please join us.
Good evening. Thank you, everybody, for having me. So many familiar faces. This is Myrna, our administrative assistant. We are a team of two. I think maybe might be one of the smallest department, if not the smallest department in Ulster County, but we're a work in progress. I just want to thank everybody, especially you guys, the legislators, for allowing me to have this role and for serving the youth of the county. We have a long way to go. I'm learning a lot. It's my 7.5 months in this job, and I'm learning a lot, not only for everybody here at Ulster County, but also over the Youth Bureau directors from the other counties around us, Orange County and also Dutchess County, who have taken me under my wing and kind of shown me the ropes. So I just want to go over some of the accomplishments and maybe at the end a little bit of the challenges that we encounter, and that hopefully with your help in the future we could attack those and get better every day. So since I've been here, I want to give praise to intern director Joe McDonald, who had the role before me for a couple months before I took the job. He kind of tried to restructure the board. A lot of the board members for the youth board for Ulster County left when the person that was in this role before me had left. And we had a very minimal board, but with Joe's help, we were able to get a new 4 board members who have been very active. Right now we have 8, we need 11. There's 2 more in the process. I think it will be in your agenda next month to vote those 2 people in if they're not there today. Today, awesome, that's even better. So we are getting closer and closer. We also had the privilege of nominating a youth. Her name is Maddie Noval from Ellenville High School. She is the representative for Ulster County in the Governor Hochul's Youth Governor Council. I had the privilege of accompanying her 2 weekends ago to Albany to be able to present. Sorry, I'll pass for phone silence. Okay, good. Sorry. I was able to present, and she was able to present also all the youth throughout the state. Made a proposal that's going over to up the legislator in Albany, and they're able to see what proposal they have. And Maddie had chosen texting and driving safety. So that is what our youth here that represents the county shows for the governor to look at. And hopefully if she gets picked, they'll be able to provide some funding for youth education when it comes to defense in driving and maybe taking some driving classes. So we are very pleased that we were able to get a youth. I think it's the first time that we have a youth on the governor's council for Ulster County, so we're very proud of that. I also want to say that our county executive has tasked over the summer with the homeless and runaway teens. We have a big homeless problem in Ulster County, as many of you know, and we had a big issue with a lot of families up at the Kingston Motel. A lot of children, about 78 kids, have been there since the summer. Some of those families have been there for a couple years, and we were able to provide programming over the summer, a modified summer camp for about 3 to 4 hours a day from 4 to 7-ish at night, where we brought recreation, we brought snacks, we brought different workshops, and we were able to do that with a little bit of some funding from some organizations throughout the county and also some other local nonprofits that helped us out. And after we got that started, we couldn't let it go, and we created an after-school program. So currently, it's the first time that Ulster County is also having direct programming. So we have an after-school program operating at O'Clinton Avenue Church every afternoon from 3 to 6 for any at-risk youth in the county that's considered homeless. So they are able to go there, we get a meal provided through Family Woodstock, and then we have social workers. We have a special education teacher that actually provides homework help and mentoring and tutoring, and then we have recreational activities for them. So that's one of the biggest accomplishments that we've had so far. Also, we continue to provide funding through OCFS and New York State, through all the other nonprofits and different municipalities, whether that's for summer camp, after-school programs, sports teams is a big one this year that the governor wants to fund. So we continue to do that. Myrna here does most of that. Even though she's an administrative assistant, we are hoping that in the future we get more help with that. Those contracts, as you guys might know, are very extensive, and we really should have probably a paralegal doing that, but we do what we can to make sure that all the programs get the funding that they need. What else have we done this year? We've done so much. Let me look at my notes. We also, with the help of Kingston City School, we're providing the transportation finally from the schools to the program, like I said, and then we have also other offset with programs where we have teenagers participate in the Go Beyond Greatness programs. They have actually a college trip to Monroe College next Wednesday. With that organization, we have other the BFI program who supports us, and the Office of Training and Employment, who's also providing all the staffing for teenagers, and there are place with us at the Clinton Avenue program to help out the little ones and watch over them. So it is a working in is a collaboration of many different departments and many different organizations throughout the county. I want to give a big shout out to One Strike Fitness. They're not here, but they were the main one that actually took on that responsibility of providing direct program to those children, and we couldn't have done it without them. So just in the future, we just want to say that we're very grateful to be here and to be the Youth Bureau for Ulster County, and we're looking for your support in the coming years to be able to grow our department, to be able to reach more. I know it is a goal of all of you and the county executive to provide more programming through the entire county, not just us, and I kind of want to model what the other youth bureaus in Orange County, Dutchess County specifically, where they're able to provide direct program and direct services to all their youth, not so concentrated in one city like we do. We started with Kingston, but our goal is to be able to reach all the other Marlboro, Ellenville, round out. There are youth all over that need our help, and hopefully we'll get the support that we need in the budget that we need to be able to do that moving forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Thank you. I now call on Vice Chair Megan Sperry to take my seat on the dais. Good evening, colleagues, staff, and members of the public. I want to begin by thanking you for the trust you've placed in me once again as chair of the legislature. It's an honor and a responsibility that I don't take lightly. I'm grateful for the dedication and hard work of every legislator in this room, regardless of party or perspective. Each of you brings valuable insight, passion, and commitment to the work we do, and I look forward to continuing our efforts together. I want to recognize Vice Chair Megan Sperry for her partnership and support, as well as Majority Leader Uchitel, Deputy Majority Leader Levine, Minority Leader Roberts, Deputy Minority Leader Lopez, and our committee chairs and deputy chairs. Your leadership is the backbone of this legislature. And of course, our dedicated legislative staff, whose efforts often go unseen, but are absolutely essential to everything we accomplish. Thank you. Thank you. As we step into this new year, we do so in uncertain times. There is a very real possibility that federal funding we have relied on to support critical services will be reduced or disappear altogether. Economic instability, inflation, and shifting policies at the national level will have direct impacts on our ability to serve our constituents. And beyond the financial challenges, there is something deeper, a sense of fear and uncertainty that many in our community are experiencing. There are families worried about losing their homes, neighbors struggling to afford rent, groceries, and medical care, parents desperate for access to mental health and addiction services for their children. There are community members who fear that their very existence, their rights, their dignity may be denied or stripped away. These are not distant issues. They are here in Ulster County. And while we may not control the national conversation, what we do here at the local level matters. This legislature has always understood that government is not just about policy, it's about people. It's about how we care for our neighbors, how we support families, how we make our communities places where everyone has the opportunity to live, work, and thrive. In the year ahead, we will continue to address some of the most pressing challenges facing Ulster County. We must remain steadfast in our effort to address the housing crisis, ensuring that people can afford to live in the communities they call home. Safe, affordable housing and reliable transportation are fundamental to a thriving community. By addressing the housing crisis and improving public transportation options, we can ensure that all residents have access to stable living conditions and the mobility they need to work, learn, and engage in daily life. We must continue strengthening emergency services and public safety. We must bolster our emergency response services so that every resident can feel safe and supported in times of crisis. Ensuring the safety and well-being of all residents is a responsibility we take seriously. We must support our law enforcement and first responders while also upholding the values of fairness, dignity, and community trust. In these uncertain times, we must remain committed to protecting the rights of our residents and fostering a safe, inclusive Ulster County for all. We must work to strengthen access to health care and mental health services. These are critical services, and we must recognize that mental health is just as important as physical health. The much-anticipated opening of the Ulster County Crisis Support Center will be a major step forward in providing immediate, compassionate care for those experiencing mental health crisis, ensuring that no one is left without the support they need. Additionally, the efforts to establish new warming centers in various parts of the county will offer refuge to those facing housing insecurity during the harsh winter months. These initiatives reflect our commitment to a safety net that prioritizes dignity, care, and accessibility for all residents. We must invest in economic development and workforce development programs that help build people's careers, support their families, and contribute to a thriving local economy. This means not only expanding job opportunities, but also ensuring that workers have the skills and training needed to succeed in an evolving job market. We must make Ulster County an attractive place for small businesses to start, grow, and thrive by reducing barriers, fostering entrepreneurship, and supporting local businesses with the resources they need to succeed. A key part of this effort is working closely with our partners at Ulster County Community College to ensure that our workforce is prepared for the jobs of today and tomorrow. Additionally, we must pursue innovative workforce development initiatives, from apprenticeships and vocational trainings to expanding access to trade skills and emerging industries, so that everyone in Ulster County has a pathway to economic security and success. As stewards of Ulster County's natural resources, we must continue advancing policies that promote clean energy, protect our environment, and combat climate change while ensuring sustainability remains at the heart of our decision making. Investing in our infrastructure is essential to the safety, efficiency, and economic vitality of Ulster County. We must continue prioritizing critical projects, from road and bridge repairs to facility upgrades, ensuring our public assets serve our residents effectively for years to come. We must champion arts, culture, and community well-being programs that enrich our communities, knowing that quality of life is about more than just economics. It's about connection, creativity, and a sense of belonging. Responsible financial stewardship is the foundation of effective governance. By continuing to carefully monitor the county's budget, ensuring fiscal responsibility, and making strategic investments, we can maintain essential services while preparing for future economic challenges. This is not about ideology. It's about our shared responsibility to serve the people of Ulster County. No matter what challenges come our way, I know that if we remain committed to collaboration, compassion, and pragmatic solutions, we will continue to move this county forward. These are uncertain times, but uncertainty should not lead to fear. It should lead to action. It should remind us why we do this work, why public service matters, and why we must continue to show up for the people who need us most. I'm honored to serve as your chair, and I look forward to another year of working together to build a stronger, more resilient, and more compassionate Ulster County. Thank you. At this time, we will move into a period of public comment regarding resolutions on the agenda. I want to remind everybody that you have 2 minutes to speak, and this period is on resolutions before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak and we ask that everyone please keep their comments respectful. There will be a time to speak on issues not before the legislature toward the end of session. If you need a reference to the agenda, we have a QR code available. Clerk Fabella, do we have anyone signed up for public comment?
There are currently 14 people signed up.
All right.
The first speaker signed up is Lauren Salve.
Good evening.
Good evening, all. My name is Lauren Salve, and I live on Town Road, just 2 short miles from the Milk Road dump site, smack in between the Milk Road and Brown Road sites. I'm here tonight to urge each and every one of you to support Mr. Lopez's resolution opposing siting a dump at either location in Warsing. As you probably know, the Sullivan County Legislature has passed a similar resolution opposing a landfill by an 8-to-1 vote. And considering that there is a dump in Monticello, which is the county seat in Sullivan County, I would give their concerns significant weight. Unfortunately, at the last board meeting of the Resource Recovery Agency, they dismissed Sullivan County's resolution once they determined that it carried no legal weight in their decision-making process. Never mind their legitimate concerns over the harm a dump will do to their constituents right there on the border. And as elected officials, you all know that accountability comes at the ballot box, whether it's in a general or a primary election. However, I want to know what measures of accountability exist for the members of the Resource Recovery Board. It's not like they're unaware of the environmental harms that come with a dump. Recently, Hudson Valley One reported that in his childhood, Mark Ryder himself experienced well water contamination from a nearby dump that was so significant that municipal water lines had to be run to his home, and yet he and his colleagues would condemn me and my neighbors to the same fate. I don't understand how such knowingly reprehensible actions can go unchecked. What will you do in this room if the Resource Recovery Board dismisses your concerns over a dump the same way they dismissed Sullivan County's concerns? I want to know where the accountability or oversight is for this board. And as Mr. Criswell just said, you are stewards of the environment here in Ulster County, and that stewardship demands that you do the right thing. You protect the air, you protect the water, and you support Mr. Lopez's resolution. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Adam Paiva.
A point of order. Is that resolution on our agenda tonight?
Majority Leader.
So any resolution that was included in a committee is under consideration for the legislature and is eligible for being this resolution period.
Thank you very much.
So it was on a committee agenda. So.
Thank you for that clarification.
Hi. Hi, everyone. My name is Adam Paiva. I'm an Ulster County resident. I live in High Falls, and I have a cabin about a half mile from the proposed Milk Road site of the Warsing dump. I'm here also voicing my opposition. I think that you've probably heard a lot of the arguments. I'll say some of them again. I'm worried about the environmental impact. It's directly uphill of the Beer Kill. I'm worried about it as a fishery. For me, as a trout fly fisherman, I can imagine that with dump runoff running into it, that fish wildlife is going to really be impacted. Also, the impact to just the wildlife that call that area home. I forget how many square miles it is. That wildlife is going to be displaced. I'm also really worried about the economic impact to me, to my neighbors. I read that property values go down by 15% within a 3-mile radius. I'm not going to be displaced, but my property value plummets as soon as this dump happens, and I think probably has already been affected by the possibility of the landfill. I live in High Falls. I fell in love with Ulster County with this property I bought in Greenfield Park, and I now operate it as an Airbnb. I can imagine that part of my income is going to vanish. I feel like it's kind of the county turning its back on the disadvantaged lower income side of Ulster County. And since I have 15 seconds left, Lee, do you want to say anything? Lee is a little shy, but she's also not a fan of the dump, and we spend weeks there every summer and just want to keep that time and don't want to have a negative environmental impact sacrifice it. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Zach Courtright.
Hey, I'm Zach Courtright. I spoke last at the last meeting, so I'll try to be brief because it does seem to be a lot of people speaking tonight. I mean, I think that in the last month, more and more stories have come out, more and more press has happened. I think the things that we kind of keep getting to the heart of is, you know, the landfills proposed in the heart of a Worthing, which is in the heart of the DEC potential environmental justice area. I think we're already underprivileged, we're already underserved. There's a lot of effort to sort of regenerate and rejuvenate this area, and I think this is another kind of smack against that. I think Cornerstone cited this on outdated, and so does DC on outdated wetland maps. If you look at the new wetland maps and also the new wetland jurisdiction or the legalities and everything that passed Jan 1, the DC is going to be held to much, much stricter wetland laws. So that kind of already boots out the site. Where the land is sited is on the USDA did a test, and it's on till. Till inherently is bad for landfills due to its sort of unstructured nature. It's sort of gravel and sand and shale, and it really sort of increases any of the risk for leakage, for contamination. I mean, there's view sheds on the property, so that's already protected. I think there's the owner's unwillingness to sell, which is like another, you know, it just feels like it keeps getting like hit and hit and hit the deeper and deeper we dive into it. And then at the same time, there's all this money that's going to get put into continuing to study a land that's inherently not suitable for a landfill that Cornerstone just randomly selected as a thing. You know, I think the other thing is we all are talking about, like, you know, Worthing, Ulster County was sort of built on this idea of nature, beauty, tourism, like bringing people to our county. Let's like not ruin sort of these last vestiges of beauty that we have here. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Jackie Vieira.
Good evening. I'm Jacqueline Vieira. This is my niece, Juliana. She's here for an education tonight. I'm a resident and property owner in Greenfield Park, the community adjacent to the proposed Milk Road landfill site. I appreciate the opportunity to address you here tonight. The Cornerstone report dated May 15, 2024, stated that the residential houses in the area are limited, a vague term that fails to accurately represent the reality. The areas surrounding the proposed site include the villages of Woodridge and Woodburn in Sullivan County and the quaint nestled village of Greenfield Park in Ulster County. Residential houses in these areas are not limited. The ongoing discussion about the landfill and the need for further studies overlooks the impact on residents and property owners. We are the ones who will bear the consequences of any decisions made. Our villages are home to long-time and new residents drawn here by peace and natural beauty. We have established businesses and loyal customers. Vital Hasidic vacation camps serve children and families. Weekend warriors escape the city for tranquility. Property investors, farmers, and tourists all contribute to our vibrant and growing area that has only seen progress and growth over the years. The landfill will devastate our communities and destroy the hard-earned wealth of homeowners and businesses. Homes and properties will be rendered unusable, unsellable, their businesses unprofitable, and the most marginalized will bear the heaviest burdens. This is a matter of justice, fairness, and respect for the rights of the families, individuals, and businesses facing ruin. I implore you to consider this project and support Resolution 33. There are other sites where the impact is minimal.
Thank you very
We all have a responsibility to ensure that progress does not come at the cost of unjustly harming our communities. As legislators, your duty is to represent the people, and our future depends on your leadership. Please oppose, as our neighboring Sullivan County legislators did, the Milk Road landfill and find another site. Thank you.
Thank you.
Devin Blagro.
Good evening. Good evening again. Last time I wasn't quite as prepared, but this time I hope you can take what I have to say a little more seriously. My name is Devin Blagro. I'm a resident of Warsing, and I live within thousands of feet of the proposed Milk Road landfill. As an engineer with over 25 years of experience, I've worked on projects that improve lives, from healthcare to financial planning. I moved to Ulster County for its natural beauty, vibrant community, and I want to protect it. Tonight, I highlight a critical issue that threatens both Ulster County and the principles we stand for. The landfill in Warsing is not just about land use. It's about property rights, environmental responsibility, and economic justice. Let's be clear. Any work, survey work, or otherwise, done without a landowner's permission is itself an act of eminent domain. People have gotten up here and told you that they're not using eminent domain, but the only way that you can grant access when an owner doesn't want to do it is by incorporating that. Any survey work entering the land without the owner's permission is trespassing and sets a dangerous precedent. This county also already faces a severe housing shortage. Many of us have supported affordable housing, yet eminent domain, even in the form of unauthorized surveys, every home lost is one less for a family. Every acre poisoned is lost for future development. Every well downstream from Bear Kill Creek risks becoming our own Flint, Michigan. This disproportionately harms the poor rather than the wealthy, contrary to democratic values. Let's talk about the location. I suspect many of you have not traveled to Milk Road in Warsaw. So let me ask, did any of you travel over there to see it? I know the answer. You can't. You travel up. What goes up must come down. Pollution, water, contamination, whatever you put up there, it's going to come back down. That waterway also then travels through majority of this country, this county. So keep in mind, what you're doing over there is going to come here. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Poppy Cannon Reese.
Hi, my name is Poppy Cannon Reese. We have a waste problem in this county, as we do in the entire country. We create more waste than we can dispose of. We as citizens should be educating ourselves and each other about what those solutions can be. I started this fight in July when I learned the landfill site was across the street from my house, and honestly, now our trash keeps me up at night. Two nights ago, I dreamed they called me back to my old job at Universal Studios and wanted me to throw all the costumes in a landfill. Last Monday, I met Mark Ryder and Jim Gordon at Taylor Waste Management in Orange County. I was struck by the fact that it's an appropriate location for taking waste, and it isn't any further from Kingston than the proposed Warsing locations. It's surrounded by warehouses with hundreds of trucks coming and going all day, and has a good working relationship with the nearest village. Building a $200 million landfill in a place with inadequate soil drainage, dangerous traffic, water issues, and property owners who are building on their land is not the solution. It is the oldest technology and the worst solution. It is a bigger polluter than the other options. I'm not a scientist, but I don't understand why creating electricity out of waste isn't something you would all bond for before you bond for a landfill. The technology is there, the funding is not. We have no textile recycling in this county. We have very little composting at the south end of the county, and I believe we should partner with other counties to find regional solutions. Craig Lopez came to the Milk Road site and wrote a resolution against the landfill. Please vote for this resolution. I will be here at every legislature meeting until you decide Warsing is a bad location for a landfill. Thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Ruben Bouchard.
Hey, everybody. My name is Ruben Bouchard from Greenville Park. Choosing to live in this area is no trivial thing. For 5 years, we searched for an affordable home, and after losing many bidding wars, we got our fixer-upper. But why were we seeing? Relative affordability, natural rural beauty, proximity to Ellenville, which has rich and storied past, and a community with diverse folks. We spent nearly all of our savings on remodeling over the years, and lots of sweat equity too. This is our retirement strategy. It's our forever home, and we can't afford to start all over again somewhere else. So we joined up with the folks opposing the landfill, and since, some great things have happened that reflect the will of the people. Number one, after getting the word out, some people hadn't heard about the landfill, by the way. After hearing about it, our community's grown stronger and more closely knit. Two, everyone we speak to opposes the landfill and wants to preserve the natural surroundings. Three, Sullivan County passed their resolution against siting the landfill at the border. Four, an UCRA press release announced that the project is temporarily on hold. And five, you, our trusted legislators, have a resolution on the table tonight to oppose the landfill. Now, it may seem that if the landfill project on hold, why vote to oppose it? But you must vote to oppose it. You must, if you truly represent your constituents. The people don't want it. Look, everyone knows garbage is not going away. I've learned way more about the technology of garbage than a musician should need to learn about. Mostly I've learned that a landfill is never the answer. It's old tech, a problem that only yields more problems. A bunch of us learned at the last UCRA board meeting about a very forward-thinking project. They're creating a center, or they want to create a center to reduce waste by sorting it, diverting it, reusing it. Let's get that built first. And then we can talk about new technology for solid waste management, like digesters or other systems, not a toxic landfill. Not a toxic landfill. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Vortex Zwiderski.
Good evening. My name is Wojciech Zwiderski, and I am proud to stand in front of you in regards to 76 Milk Road. I stand before you today with a deep sense of concern, not just for myself, but for the generations to come. I'm here to speak out against the proposed landfill in our community because as someone who hopes to build a future here, I believe the risks associated with the landfill are too great for our health, our families, and our future. The proposal to build a landfill in our areas threatens everything that makes this place worth living. My father bought this property so he could retire here and create a beautiful and senior place for his children and grandchildren, for the future generations to enjoy. He saved his whole life to be able to retire here, and where he and his children, grandchildren can be surrounded by nature, fresh air, and safe, healthy environment. Our families have worked very hard to invest in this beautiful place. My mom, who has a heart condition, finds solace and healing here. This area has always been a place where we can feel confident in the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the soil we walk on. It's a place we choose to call home. But a landfill nearby threatens that very future. Landfills release harmful gases like methane, hydrogen sulfide, which is not only pollute the air, but also increase the risk of heart attacks, worsens pre-existing heart conditions, and contribute to long-term cardiovascular damage. My mom, along with others in this community who suffer from heart problems, would be a direct exposed to these risks. The strain on their hearts, the impact on their lungs, and the overall deterioration on their well-being would be too much to bear. Is this really what we want for the members of our community? Landfills do not just pollute the air. They also contribute to the water supply, further endangering vulnerable individuals. Landfills are notorious for leaking toxic substances into surrounding soil, groundwater, putting our families at risk of exposure to dangerous chemicals. What kind of future would that be giving our children if this access to clean water and safe environment is threatened? But that's not just for the people who are already here. It's about the next generations who will grow up in this community. We cannot afford to overlook the impact that polluted air, toxic waste, and contaminated water will have on our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Imagine
sir,
what
thank,
it could be
thank
in
you
health,
very much for
breathing
your comments,
and drinking
sir.
Water, taking harmful emissions
sir,
from
nearby. Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it.
The next speaker is Cy Greenwald.
Good evening, all. My name is Cy Greenwald. We have a property on Milk Road. The proposed landfill is in our backyard. Just a bit of a history. My grandfather bought the property back in 1950. We have been ever since spending months up there enjoying the environment, and the proposed landfill is just threatening that quality of life that we do have. And we just wanted to be here to show our support and the opposition, and we hope that everyone with the legislators do take this seriously. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Tony Vieira.
My name is Anthony Vieira, and I reside on Milk Road, 52. And like I said, I didn't come prepared, so I'll keep it short. Which I'm happy. I'm sure you guys are happy about that. And give my neighbors some more time to speak, hopefully. But yeah, my father's been there for over 50 years, also. And you know, and that was a place that my wife and I were looking to retire to. And we've got over 200 apple trees on the property, and you know, just a nice place to get out of the city and come up and you know, maybe call it home someday full time. But you know, this landfill, so conveniently far away from Kingston, right? It's way tucked off in that corner, and you guys ain't going to smell the smell that I'm going to be smelling for years to come, God forbid this place gets approved. So I'm really hoping and that the legislature's here tonight vote against it, because it's definitely going to kill us. It's definitely going to kill us. So thank you, guys. Please be considerate.
Thank you.
Andrew Faust.
Hey folks, Andrew Faust recently published a book, Earth is Our Home. I'm an ecological designer and planner, and I also live in the region where the proposed landfill will be, on Briggs Highway. Landfills inevitably become Superfund sites. Further, waste is a resource, and we need to get smart in Ulster County about that, set an example, and show that we've got a better plan than simply making a pile of toxic materials that can contaminate our groundwater. The Sandberg flows into the Rondout. I also am part of a group who founded the Rondout Creek Watershed Alliance, and we are concerned about water quality. And when we think about what we have inherited here, we have an opportunity to show that we can get organics out of trash, which is what I am here to advocate for, not what Taylor Montgomery wants to do, which is a botched technology. Gasification fires 7,000 degrees sand at trash and burns it, which creates microparticulate and air pollution. It is not green energy. Getting organics out of trash will reduce 16 tractor trailer loads by 50% to 8. We need to do this. We need to do it now. I would really love to see your support for something up and down the 209 highway, where each transfer station becomes a place where we can set up compost collection. We can incentivize this. We need entrepreneurial endeavors, microenterprise, and this is a business opportunity for Ulster County to get smart about turning waste into a resource in a truly ecologically restorative way. And I'm here to help with the thinking around it, and I'm going to leave a copy of my book, which has a case study about to implement these solutions in the Rondout Creek watershed. And that's what I've been focusing on. 92,000 people between Wurtsboro and Kingston. Kingston's 28,000 people. We can begin to take good ideas from Burlington and fast track them here. And I'm here to help to turn this waste problem into a solution.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Scott Carlson.
Hello, everyone. My name is Scott Carlson. I'm the former town supervisor in the town of Owessing, and I've never spoke for just 2 minutes in my entire life, but here goes. Approximately 12 years ago as town supervisor, I came across a plan by the RRA to locate a landfill in one of at least seven sites in the town of Owessing. Although it was in its early stages, it was real. I called the then director of the RRA and the county executive, Mike Hine, and basically squashed the idea. You should also know that there was a proposal or a plan back in the 1990s to locate a landfill in Owessing. This time around, we're led to believe that the entire county was examined and only two sites were identified, both in the town of Owessing. No pun intended, but this is garbage. We are used to this in the town of Owessing. We're the furthest town from Kingston. Homelessness, social services, parolees, sex offenders, we see it all. Check a map, or better yet, come to Milk Road and Brown Road. There are virtually no sites further away from Kingston than them. The sites being considered are pristine. One is close proximity to the Roundout Reservoir. The other is near the Beerkill Stream. The Ulster County RRA has not properly and thoroughly examined alternatives to a new landfill in Ulster County. We already have a closed landfill, multiple closed dumps and junkyard sites, and one Superfund site in Owessing. I urge the Ulster County Legislature to follow the lead of the Sullivan County Legislature and pass Craig Lopez's resolution against this proposal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Greg Schultz.
Thank you, folks. My name is Greg Schultz, a resident of Ellenville for 62 years and of Greenfield Park for the last 30. I just wanted to express my vehement opposition to this proposed forest dump. I have hunted, gathered blueberries, hiked this area for probably over 30 years with my father and uncle, who has recently passed. I just can't imagine this kind of thing happening, that an agency can usurp property from people and put this thing. Everybody realizes that we do need a solution to our garbage problems. However, in these areas that are proposed, I just don't see its feasibility. I know I feel passionate about my property, which I've worked hard for to pay for over my life, and my acreage, which is less than a mile from this the Milk Road proposed site. And I will protect my property as best as I can and to the full extent of the law, as my Ukrainian neighbors and friends are doing with their properties. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The last speaker signed up is Chris Allen.
Hi, my name is Chris Allen. I live in Saugerties. I represented Legislative District 2 in Saugerties and Malvern West Camp. I'm running again this year for the same legislative seat. I'm speaking about several resolutions that approve subcontracted mental health services for Office for the Aging and for mental health services around the county. We have an aging population in Ulster County, and our Office for the Aging needs all the help it can get to try and meet the needs of our growing population in this demographic. I'd like to see more resources allocated to the Office for the Aging and an expansion to the office facilitated by a college internship program. The mental health services that we subcontract out to in various areas needs more oversight in certain areas, specifically in the areas of those recipients of mental health services who receive social service assistance and housing, as I was recently contacted by a friend whose brother died from exposure after having an adverse reaction to mental health medications late last year. The new homeless and homeless housing coordinator and social services needs to coordinate efforts to monitor the mental health of those patients on prescription mental health medications and to monitor the living conditions of these residents and social services provided housing, along with all the living conditions of all residents and social services, as it's been reported over the last several years that living conditions in certain temporary hotel housings need drastic improvement. With the chance of losing federal grant funding in the near future for services like these, we must work together in government to continue to provide services that are of the highest quality with less financial grant recipient money. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody here who would like to speak on issues before the legislature this evening? And a second call, anybody who would like to speak on issues before the legislature this evening? And a final call. Seeing none, I'm going to move us forward. We are now going to move into consent and non-consent agenda. Majority Leader Ushtel, is there anything moving in or out of consent or
not? I believe the minority party has some things moving in and out, but nothing from our side.
Thank you. Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you both. I'd like to move from consent into non-consent 11, 12, 47, 53, 59, 60, 61, 62, and 71.
Any objections? All righty. On the consent agenda.
We're a short yes.
We are a short yes. One abstention. Resolution 32, Legislator Kovacs.
The resolutions are adopted 23-0 with the exception of Resolution 32, which is adopted 22-0 with one abstention, Legislator Kovacs.
The basis for the abstention?
For reasons of employment is what I just heard. Thank you. All right, moving on to the non-consent agenda.
The first resolution in non-consent is Resolution 676 of 2024, approving the execution of a contract for $150,000 entered into by the county, Ulster County Community Action Committee, Inc., Department of Social Services.
Legislator Maloney.
Yes, I'm under the impression that Comptroller March Gallagher is going to be doing a audit of this not-for-profit. Hopefully it comes out a little better than the last one. But this not-for-profit does a lot of good things, but that doesn't mean we can look the other way when things need to be looked into, improved on, perhaps some accountability being brought forth. But the issues I had with this particular $150,000 contract was when it started, they were getting the food from restaurants, and everybody in these shelters that I've talked to were very happy with the food. What ended up happening after that, maybe to save money, they started making their own food. It came cold. It was in no means consistent. Days would go by, they wouldn't get food, then they would. The food was disgusting. I went and witnessed it myself. I took photographs myself. I talked to multiple different families that had the same experience. They would get these bags of cold, disgusting food, most of the time with no drinks or anything else, and they would take them and throw them into the trash at these motels. That was one problem. The second problem was I ended up getting documents from the board itself of the not-for-profit that showed that of the $150,000 that we gave them in the contract, that $40,000, they spent $110,000. Some of the board members said, with the last $40,000, let's just buy more food. Let's provide more services, more hygiene kits. But they were told that the people that are already salaried individuals at this not-for-profit worked really hard and deserved a bonus. They then took the last $40,000 and turned it into checks, three $10,000 checks for three different individuals that are salaried at this not-for-profit, and then two $3,500 checks. One of them went to a woman that her only description, according to this contract, was she signed documents when the director couldn't make it. For that, she got her salary and a $3,500 bonus. What I think happened here was they confused the language in these contracts that's pretty
boilerplate for the most part that says you can divvy up a certain percentage of the money that the county or the state gives a not-for-profit for their salary. I think they confused that and then justified a one-time payment beyond that. Is when I hear them describe what they did, that sounds like why they think they were able to do it. They're not. So when you have food that's not edible and then 40,000 tax dollars being given in $10,000 checks to already salaried individuals at this not-for-profit, I'm just shocked that it's only the individuals on this side of the aisle that give a damn and want to look into that. But that's where we're at, and that's why I will be a statement no. I understand why my colleagues would, at this point, knowing that the comptroller is going to be looking into this, would approve it, because there are still things like diapers. I mean, we're paying a lot of money. I mean, by the time you get done giving out checks and the food being thrown out, we're paying a lot of money for these diapers and these hygiene kits, but it's still something that's supposedly going out. So I understand why we don't want to, while we await an audit, an investigation, whatever you want to call this, why we go ahead and approve it. I'll be a statement no, but I understand why some of my colleagues who have held it up, want to continue looking into it, are now a yes. But I just wanted to explain to everybody, last meeting I actually handed out, I had a file with printouts of the documents, the actual documents. I blacked out the names, but the documents that showed the $10,000 payments and pages of pictures of the food that was brought. I handed that out to my colleagues. I don't know what else I can do.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I understand that a lot of the materials that were presented to this body at the last meeting were of items that were not provided by the not-for-profit that is under this contract. So the information was wrong. I don't know how much of the information was wrong, but I do know that some of the information was wrong, and it's possible that all of the information is wrong. This is not the way that I like to receive information and have the opportunity to find out whether or not it's right or wrong. So I think that we should have passed this at the last meeting. We should certainly pass it at this meeting and let the concerns that are raised be addressed through appropriate channels, not through political or whatever mechanism this is. It is unfair to have a party that is being accused in this way not have the opportunity to see those accusations in advance, provide explanations, and have all the stakeholders that are involved come together to find out if there is any problem at all. And if there is, then to move to solutions. So I think that people who are careful and care will, in fact, want to keep these services in place until these charges can be evaluated and, if possible, rectified rather than some other action that's being proposed here. It doesn't seem that it is fair. Is certainly not compassionate, and to be accused of not caring because you want to be careful and you'd like to keep services, continuing, doesn't seem like it's that is a fair way to look at things.
Legislator Maloney, for a second time.
I just heard that it's wrong. The documentation I handed out was wrong, but I didn't hear one legitimate reason how it was wrong or why it was wrong. There were actual documents that were provided me by board members that I literally copied and blacked out the names for privacy and handed out to my colleagues. Talking about care, do we care? That's why I'm doing this, because I care. When you go in and you see the people that are struggling, that literally don't have enough to eat, being given food that is unedible, and then I find out the people that are in charge of this are giving themselves $10,000 checks, I do care. I think I care a lot. That's why it's uncomfortable to do these things. You get these things said about you all the time when you try to stand up and do something about this. You know, I was also told that the last meeting of this organization, the director got a video of what I had said, didn't tell anybody, and then just out of nowhere played the video and then looked at one of the individuals they thought gave me the information. And then they accused him of not being loyal to the board, to the committee, and that individual had to sit there. You wonder why nobody ever says anything, because when they do, that's what happens. We go ahead and approve the contract. We never talk about it. Nobody ever gets held accountable, and the whistleblower that comes forward gets attacked. That's Ulster County in a nutshell. And then the real people, the real tragedy, is the least of us, the people that are out there struggling, that we ride around on our high horse acting like we care so much about and do things for, they continue to suffer with subpar programmatic services. And it just will continue and continue and continue until we stand up and start having those uncomfortable conversations that need to be had, holding people accountable when they don't do right by with our tax dollars and by the least of us that desperately need the help. But it's one organization after another, it seems lately, that doesn't appear to be what we want them to be. And some of us want to do something about it, and some of us don't.
Majority Leader Ushtel, followed by Legislator Collins.
So there's a couple things going on here. There's the financial component, and there's the food itself, right? And obviously it tugs on the heartstrings if you hear that someone's being given food that is spoiled or cold, and they're throwing it in the garbage, right? And I understand why that would do that. That tugs on my heartstrings as well. Absolutely, I'm human. We all are. But yet, if we actually looked at the contract, they're not contracted to give perishable food. They're not giving hot meals that then became cold. They give two hot meals a year. It's for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Everything else is non-perishable food. So there's no basis for the allegation that the perishable food has perished and it's been thrown away. They're not contracted to give perishable foods. That food must have come from somewhere else. There are other agencies or other people that help, and it shouldn't be conflated with this organization, because we're not even asking them, we're accusing them of doing something poorly that we haven't even asked them to do. So it's the process for this is to bring things that are regarding the financial side of it to the comptroller, whose job it is to investigate that. And in this case, when she received this, she called myself and the minority leader and said, hey, I'm going to look into this. I hear this. I'm going to look into it. But please approve the contract. Approve the contract so that people can keep getting their kit, so they can keep getting their non-perishable food. So I hope and I believe that that is what we're going to do tonight. I wish that we had done that in December. We can figure out the financial stuff. But when you're actually stopping people from getting the things that they need, and you can actually look at the contract and figure out that it's not meant to be perishable food, you know, this is we can't keep going down these rabbit holes. Let the comptroller do their work, and don't pull back on the work that we're providing for people.
Legislator Collins.
In December, I voted to postpone this contract, and I asked for documentation to be provided to me so I could look it up myself. I got no documentation. So at this point, I don't want to keep waiting for this. We need to provide the food. We need to provide the money. We need to pass this now.
Legislator Maloney, you need someone's time?
Legislator, let's.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was told recently by multiple people that they were told they weren't getting the food anymore, that it's been postponed, the funding has been blocked. So that's funny. The board members themselves were under the impression that the food that was being delivered was from this contract. So I'm not sure where the majority leader is getting the information, but everyone else out there is under the impression that this subpar food being provided by this organization, that the entire board and the people getting the food are under the impression has to do with this contract, they are getting it. Either way, it's a major issue, the quality of the food and the $40,000. I just can't believe, if this was 15 or 20 years ago, this would be the legislative body. I mean, even 10 years ago, when I first came in here, this would have been handled, it would have been taken more seriously, especially by this side of the aisle. Dave Donaldson, Tracy Bartels, Lynn Archer. They would have given a damn about $40,000. It's just amazing to me how we can go on. And it's laughable, the idea that I literally handed out 15 packets. I don't know how many trees I was supposed to kill. 15 printouts. That's the beautiful thing. When you get to the point, I've been told for 5 or 6 years, show me the proof, and I just keep showing people the proof. I keep putting people in jail. I keep exposing corruption and inefficiency and abuse of power. I keep doing it and doing it and doing it. The same lame excuses. Show me. I need proof. And then I actually come and hand out packets. That way, 2 packets went to this row, and I have an individual telling me, I've never seen it. You don't want to see it. Let's be honest. You don't want to see it.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we're short yes.
On the resolution?
Short yes, 1 no, Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. The next resolution is Resolution 684 of 2024, adopting proposed local law number 14 of 2024, a local law amending the Code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 232, Living Wage, in relation to applicability and compensation.
Legislator Litz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Everyone has been given an updated, amended local law number 14. I offer that amendment, which will give an exemption to the Ulster County Summer Youth Employment and the Youth Employment Program. Because the last time we raised the living wage, whether it was their mistake or not, they did not employ as many youth as they had in the past because we're paying them more money, and this is a federally reimbursed program. I understand everyone needs to make a living wage, and the living wage is to help families provide groceries and buy fuel oil or oil to heat their houses and their electricity. But most high school students usually don't provide those for their family. And I would much rather see the federal funding employ as many possible youth in this county so they can learn a work ethic rather than reduce the number to meet our living wage requirement. So I offer that amendment.
Legislator Harmon, followed by Legislator Maloney, followed by Legislator Levine, Deputy Majority Leader.
Thank you,
Chair.
Oh,
I'm sorry, we need a second before
that. Who was going to second?
Sorry, yes, thank you very much.
Would you like me to speak on it now, or?
In the turn, so Harmon, Levine, and then you. Thank you.
I take issue with the assertion that high school students are not contributing to the financial well-being of their family, and I think that would be a lovely world in which to live, but we live in this world where many high school students are contributing to the everyday living expenses of their families, and I believe we have information that says that everybody's on board with this. So it's a solution in search of a problem that does not exist. The problem that does exist is that the rent is too damn high, and this is one way where people can contribute to paying it.
Deputy Majority Leader Levine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to this amendment that was brought before us this evening, just before session, I was part of a telephone call with the Director of Employment and Training regarding this amendment. And according to the director, these youth employees are not employees of Ulster County or of a contractor with Ulster County. They are United Way employees. They are not covered under Ulster. They are not on Ulster County payroll. They are under United Way payroll. So these folks would not be, local law would not be applicable to these people, to these youth. And it is therefore, in my opinion, and in the opinion, I believe, of of Ms. Williams, the Director of Employment and Training, unnecessary to be put forward. So I would urge my colleagues to be rejecting this amendment because it is not necessary. Thank you.
Legislator Maloney, followed by Legislator Litz.
Yeah, so first of all, I think we're all for this. I think that was mentioned. I'm definitely for it. I put this up a couple of years ago. What a difference a name makes on top of a resolution. So all these votes that voted against it. So basically, we just had a nice conversation in caucus about this. So the feds give us about $10 an hour per kid in this program. And this really isn't a program that's necessarily about, I mean, money's money, but it's not, it's more about underprivileged youth getting into the workforce and getting ready to get out of high school or college and get to work. And it's, I think it's got some a lot of success behind it in our county and others. So you take the $10 from the feds. If we mandate 18, in theory, you could end up with yet less youth being part of the program. The reason we think that is because Legislator Litz, in a committee meeting just a year or two ago, was told that they actually did hire less youth because of the hourly wage they had to pay. So it is a very reasonable concern that at $14 an hour, we would be able to have 20 or 30 more youth, because that's actually happened in this county already. That's the theory. If we want to go ahead and pay more, this amendment we're talking about doesn't have to, it's not a mandate that you have to pay less. If the county executive wants to pay 18, that's fine. They can. But they could also have the room to hire more youth, have a bigger program if they felt constrained like they just had in the past. So this does make a lot of sense. As far as all of a sudden our caucus, I don't know why that is, but this caucus had all three deputy executives in it. For the first time I've seen in a long time. So we actually were able to have a great conversation. And when talking about the language, we were told that it refers to contractors and employees, and they don't really believe that these youth would be considered that. When we asked what they would be considered, if not a contracted employee or a regular county employee, they couldn't give us the language. And that's when one of the deputy executives said, you know what, maybe it wouldn't hurt just to have this language, this amendment put forth for this resolution. So we're actually going off of what a deputy executive told us might be nice to have the language there, just in case it does end up being a legal problem and it's not as cut and dry as the majority whip had just said. So it's only going to take us a month. We're unified at the end of it. It's language that gives the county executive the room to possibly hire more youth and have them part of the program. It also doesn't constrict or stop the county executive from paying 18 if she wanted to. So I think it makes a lot of sense. It's only a month, and then we're unified, and we have this language that makes sense.
Legislator Litz, do you mind if I have counsel weigh on this before you speak?
Well, maybe I can enlighten counsel.
Sure. We'll have you speak, and then we'll have counsel speak.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
This is a program, a federal program, federally funded for underprivileged youth. And I'm really dismayed that our colleagues, I mean, we're in a sad state of affairs if families are relying on high school students to provide the essential services for their family. But if that in fact is true, wouldn't you want to employ more underprivileged youth than just a few, so those families can get up and have their essential services? I'd much rather employ as many possible youth as we could to spread this money around for all families, for a lot of families. This is a local law. This local law will stand until it is changed in the future. Right now, United Way has that contract. What happens if they don't have it next year? What happens if the county takes it upon themselves, like was suggested, that the county executive says, well, all right, you know, so we're going to up this. We're going to take this program under our wing. Much like a lot of youth programs that are part of Ulster County. You say this is unnecessary language. Maybe at this point in time, because the United Way is under contract to run this program, maybe it is. Maybe in the future, it won't be superfluous language in our law. But what does it hurt? If it's not necessary now, maybe it'll be necessary in the future. So having it as part of the law, I don't see as an issue or a problem, but maybe in the future it'll help us out of a problem. It'll help Ulster County maybe take on this program and not put it out to contract to United Way. Maybe we would save some money on those services and employ even more underprivileged youth. So I would like to see the amendment stand. People say it's not necessary, it's not warranted. Well, I guess it can't hurt then. Thank you.
Councilor Ragucci, and then Legislator Collins, and Legislator Nolan.
So this issue was presented just moments before session started. I had a minute during public comment to review the Ulster County Code, and while I continue to believe that the current amendment and its interplay with the current contracts would really leave no change and have no effect on the SYED or the YEP. It is true that the amendment doesn't necessarily prevent any future contracts from being affected, say, outside the service of the United Way. So in an exercise of extreme prudence, the amendment is not inappropriate under the circumstances, in my opinion.
Legislator Collins?
Sounds like we could pass this as not amended today, so we can start the minimum wage taking effect tomorrow, and then pass an amendment next session. Or if we amend it now, we have to wait a month. Just pass it now. Let's do an amendment separately, if that's still needed.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I would prefer to wait until amendments are needed to make the amendments. And I also think there's a little something that comes in here in terms of exempting youth who are doing the same kind of work as other people from the minimum wage, from having what is a fair payment for their services. This program is designed to lift people up. And I think if you treat people fairly, then they get that message that there's a place for them at full value, not almost half of the value of somebody else. So our young people, I think, need that message. I am concerned in the past if this has kept people from having a job at all. I think that's not good. But we have the director of the program that's going to administer this and the evaluation that this language is not necessary at this time. So I think it's nice to include adolescents, young people in this program at the full wage and not separate out that they could somehow be left out. If we're going to do that, I think we should really discuss it and decide that, and in consultation with the director of the program, not just by fiat, because we have a better idea on the night of that we're voting on it.
On the amendment, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Legislator Litz.
Well, apparently memories are very short. I discussed this last month on the floor in this meeting, checked the tape, so that's at least 30 days ago. And I brought it up in committee when the director was present, posed the question, because when we raised the living wage to $15.50, and she stated in that committee meeting that we employed 60% of what we did previously, because the federal government reimbursed us for $10 an hour, and because we were paying the youth $15.50 an hour, We could not employ 100%, so we employed 60%. And I agree this program is to help underprivileged youth get a work ethic, give them a job. And I understand that it lifts them up when they make $17.70 an hour under this program, but you'll be lifting up a lot less youth if the federal government is going to provide us less than the $17.70, which they are providing us less than the $17.70. So the outcome is employing less youth. I don't understand it. And if like everybody says, it's not necessary and it's gonna hurt, not gonna hurt the program. But I like to put in, I would like to still include the amendment for future contracts in future years.
I have Legislator Nolan for a second time, and then Legislator Collins for a second time, and then Legislator Stewart.
I just wanted to clarify that I do believe that I heard all of those comments about the past situation, but my understanding is that the present situation is different in material, important ways from that past situation. And so this isn't necessary now. So if it's not necessary to add language now that we may not want now or in the future, I don't think we have to go that direction. That problem was in a past time with a different structure, as I understand it. And if we're wrong on that and the language that was, I think that these discussions were held before, but I just received this amendment language tonight. So that's why I'm saying, you know, it's being proposed tonight, because that's when this amendment was put in front of me. So if it turns out that I have a misunderstanding and there's a different situation than what I understand here, I think we have the means, as Legislator Collins suggested, to correct the situation at a later point and keep this program moving forward tonight.
Legislator Collins for a second time, followed by Stewart.
I pass. Legislator Nolan said what I wanted to say.
All right. Legislator Stewart.
Based on the fact that I was present at that committee meeting that Legislator Litz mentioned, and I felt he had a good point at the time, and also based on the words that Council Rigucci stated that it might be prudent to go ahead and pass this amendment, I'm going to change my vote, as I indicated in caucus, and vote in favor of this amendment.
On the amendment? Oh, yep, on the amendment.
On the amendment, I believe we are a short no with two yeses, Gavaris and Stewart.
Short yes.
The amendment is defeated 11 to 12.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 23-0. The next resolution is Resolution 688 of 2024. Adopting Proposed Local Law 18 of 2024, a local law applying salary revisions for certain elected Ulster County officials serving for fixed terms.
Legislator Kovacs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to offer an amendment to this law. I would strike Section 4 and replace with the following. This local law shall take effect upon compliance with all applicable provisions of the Municipal Home Rule Law of the State of New York, with an operative date of January 1st, 2026. The proposed law, as before you, would raise our salaries in the middle of a term. That is unacceptable. Even Congress, even the state legislature, doesn't do that. We should not be changing our own salaries. The legislators that are elected in November of this year would have the increased salary if my amendment passes. That is what I would offer.
Legislator Maloney. This is on the amendment, yes.
Second.
Is that what you're doing? Is there a second for this? Second from Minority Leader Roberts. Uh,
All right. On the amendment?
I believe we are a short no on the amendment.
Short yes.
We have one yes. We're short no with one yes, Gavaris.
The amendment is defeated 10 to 13.
Thank you. On the resolution. Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, just really amazing to me with the unions, and we have a lot of union members here that come to all our meetings. I see some union members over there from DPW that actually got a raise ripped out of their souls by this body right here. And then we turn around and at first attempt to give ourselves a $16,000 to $38,000 raise, and that didn't go over. So we moved it down, but we're still giving it to ourselves midterm. The idea that we're sitting on all this extra money, the idea that I'm not even sure what the legislature does except for at the end of the year add a couple of million or a couple hundred thousand to the budget itself rather than find savings. We usually add to it. That's usually our stamp on our existence, is adding money. We're sitting on all this sitting money. We've heard the stories. The UCSEA is grossly underpaid, 30-something people, every holiday working doubles, 3 and 4 mandated doubles a year, two COs dying inside the jail. I can't, mention that, enough that can you imagine if we had people in certain offices that might die while they're working, and that's just kind of commonplace? What we put these men and women through, what their lives, what their life expectancy is compared to everybody else that works in the county, and for us to have the sitting money, for us to put them through the hell we put them through, not give them the money, not have a contract for them, and then turn around and give ourselves a raise that doesn't even start next term. How out of touch can you be? How out of touch? And then to get to the point where many of us here are going to vote against an amendment that just moves it at least to the beginning of next term. We ran at a certain salary. It is beyond offensive to a lot of people, but especially the union members, like I said, many of which come here and watch this. Do you know what it does? They have to get up tomorrow at 5 o'clock in the morning and go work and put themselves in danger and everything else for this county, out of contract, below, what they're worth, and we sit here and give. I can't wrap my head around it. I just can't wrap my head around it. I'm a no a year from now. I'm a no now. It's just so offensive.
Legislator Litz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know when this came up before, and when it came up in the past, I'm a no for a raise. I think it's very disingenuous to the constituents we all have in this county. We talked tonight about the youth and how youth have to help support their family just to put essentials on the table. We heard how the possibility of losing some federal funding, how it's going to affect all our lives. Inflation is up. Gas is up. Groceries are up. Eggs are going up to $10 a dozen. And we sit here in the middle of a term and vote ourselves a raise. To me, that is totally reprehensible, ridiculous, and disingenuous to the people that we serve in this county. I will be a no.
Legislator Kitchen.
I can echo the sentiments of Legislator Litz and Legislator Maloney. These union people do come to every meeting, start recognize them by their face and starting to learn their names, actually. But to be here for 20, 30 years and only making $25 an hour when they should have gotten a raise, the buildings and grounds employees should have gotten a raise when everybody else got the raise. I don't know why we're talking about giving ourselves a raise. Just saying about the money. For me, it's about representing the constituents in my district, helping those people get a raise. They're in this room doing what's right at the end of the day. And I'll be voting no. I don't need a raise. Don't want a raise. I'll be voting no on a raise. Thank you.
Majority Leader Yushito.
So, you know, just to be clear, I believe every single person in this room believes that our union rank and file deserve a raise. And every single person in this room, when we are presented with a contract that is the product of the collective bargaining process, is going to vote to give raises for the unions. We all believe that. I think if we all wish that we had a contract in front of us today, that would give them that raise. But we cannot circumvent that process. The case law that says that you can't just unilaterally circumvent the collective bargaining process is actually based on litigation that happened in Ulster County decades ago when Ulster County tried to circumvent that process and give out-of-contract raises. So we have to respect collective bargaining. It's a process. Strong unions are important. They're important to the backbone of this country. We should not undermine them. I wish the process was faster. And when we do have a contract in front of us, I'm looking forward to supporting it. We all know that the unions deserve a raise. We all feel that in our souls. We know how much these employees do for the county. And, you know, I just wanted to speak to that because the notion that we can, you know, wave that we can circumvent the collective bargaining process is not. We've gone through this. We know that we can't do that.
Legislator Maloney for a second time, then Collins, then Kitchen.
Two quick things. One, it was just mentioned, circumventing the collective bargaining. Both of our lawyers agreed there was a lot of legal room to do what we were doing, not because we were renegotiating, circumventing, because we were reinterpreting. The first line in the contract said DPW across the board is getting the raise. Deep into the contract, somehow there was a scheduling thing where you find out later, as many of these men and women found out later, they weren't getting the raise because the county exec and the budget department was interpreting the contract to only mean a certain schedule, not both schedules, even though in many parts of the contract it read differently. That's why we were on legal ground to reinterpret the contract to what it originally, many of us originally thought it meant. We got it passed. We could have done it. No one was going to challenge it. The union would have had to challenge it themselves. But the same union, headed by the same person that's son, was part of the small group of people that got the raise, came and fought against it behind the scenes, and you went along with it, and now those men and women got it yanked away again. That's one thing. Those are the facts. Two, right now, I'll just remind everyone that we have the National Guard on our way to two state prisons. They have not allowed men and women that work there to even leave for days. They're sleeping on cots because they're not allowed to leave because of the strike that is going on right now. What are we going to do when our jail does the same thing? Who's going to
keep us on the topic of?
Our unions not being paid.
Yeah, but that's not what this resolution is that we're talking about.
That's my reason for voting no. I'm well within my rights to explain my reasons for voting no. Thank you for interrupting me. In closing, think about the jail and the UCSEA. When you vote yes or no on this, the men and women that are giving their lives, giving their careers, giving their family life away for far less than they're worth, we'd be able to hire more. And I do think we should think about these state prisons because they might just be going first. And I don't know if the National Guard is going to come into the Ulster County Jail if we force these men and women to that point where they have to do something like the state prisons are starting to do right now. And people are watching, and I think more jails are going to go down that road. And we better be ready. And all we got to do is pay these people, not ourselves. Isn't that something? Let's pay the men and women that keep the lights on.
Legislator Collins and then Legislator Kitchen for a second time.
I just want to remind people this is not an issue of paying the unions or not paying the unions. We'll pay the unions when the contract is done. We want to pay the unions. We all want to pay the unions. We all want to pay the working people of Ulster County a fair wage. This particular raise has been talked about in percentages. They haven't talked about the actual numbers because the numbers are so small that it doesn't have the same sound. we're trying to go from $16,000 a year to $18,000 a year. I've done the math on my hourly wage. It's less than $20 an hour. I'm not being overpaid. None of us are being overpaid. Raising to $18,000 is not going to overpay us. That adds a total of $46,000 to this budget for the entire county. The county has a $400 million budget. That's a very, very, very small part. It does not prevent us from getting raises for the unions. Lastly, this raise was not recommended by us, by me. It was recommended by an independent commission for salary review for the legislature. They gave us the numbers. They looked at the surrounding counties. They looked at our salary. They recommended this raise for us. We are just passing the recommendation of an independent committee.
Legislator Kitchen for a second time.
Yes, I would encourage all my colleagues in the legislature, why don't we just wait until these employees get their raises before we take our raises? Because $2,000 a year, it's not going to, I don't know if that's going to make or break too many people. People keep in mind, I don't get paid to travel here to these meetings, nor do I want to. But legislators that live a certain mileage away get compensated for their gas, and I don't know if that's in other mileage. I guess they get compensated for. I would hope we could all come together and say, you know what, you're right. Why should we take something before our employees get it? Thank you.
Legislator Hewitt for the first time.
I just want to remind the legislature that this was part of the budget discussion in December, and that this is actually not in the middle of our session. It's February, and this is the first meeting of the year, and this was done at the proper time in the proper way.
On the resolution. Oh, I didn't see him. Who was it? Litz? Sorry.
Yes, thank you.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't see your hand.
No, that's okay. I thought you did. You looked at me, nodded, and you wrote something down. I thought you were marking me down. This has been around. It was actually defeated, and you can see up there it says petition to discharge, successfully executed. That means that it was voted down, and then somebody said, hey, if I can get enough legislators to sign up, we can bring it back before the legislature. And that's what happened. So I don't know, maybe there was a change of heart of some of the legislators that voted it down the first time. But I do remember, I mean, we're talking now about waiting until some workers, we finish negotiations and they get their raise before we get ours. I voted no the first time. We're going to continually vote no. Because we put up a resolution to reduce the county tax burden on our constituents by 15%. It worked out to, I don't know, a few hundred dollars or whatever for every family household in this county. And it was voted down. It was voted no. And then, you know, on the heels of that, we're voting to give ourselves a raise. Now, I don't know. I've said my piece. I can't be more adamant about this. But what I can do is I can ask for a long roll, because I want the constituents in everybody's district here so they look in the camera and vote, and their constituents can see how they voted and what they think about their constituents giving themselves a raise when we couldn't give each family a couple of $100 off their county taxes. It's very disingenuous. We're not really serving the people that we are supposed to serve.
Legislator Hansett, followed by Majority Leader Uchitel for a second time.
The bottom line is, the optics are, we are giving ourselves a raise, regardless of what that raise is. I was elected at a salary. It should not be changed midterm. I know that we are one of the lowest paid bodies here, if not the lowest in the state. But I knew that when I ran. So the bottom line for me is, regardless, we should not change it midterm.
Majority Leader, you should.
Yeah, since somebody brought up the property tax proposal, just to be clear, it was, for anyone listening at home, it was not a proposal to give every household a money or you know, return taxes to households. It was to return taxes to property owners, right? And the reason that that is in committee right now is we're trying to figure out who the property owners are, because my understanding is the biggest property owners in the county are Central Hudson and, you know, like the hospital and you know, whatever we're going to figure out the major property owners are, right? But tenants weren't going to get that. It was not going to every household, so that's what's going on with that proposal. And since it was brought up, I just wanted to mention that that it was not a rebate for every household. If it was, I would have supported it, but it's not.
On the resolution. So
there long roll. Was it called?
I was going to say that. Thank you. There was a long roll that was called.
On Resolution 688 of 2024. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
No.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
No.
Guevaras.
No.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
No.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
No.
Kovacs.
No.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
No.
Lopez. Maloney.
This is the second raise we've given ourselves in just a couple of years. That committee that was mentioned before, the five or six, seven people that get together to make recommendations, the last time that committee got together and recommended a raise, one of the individuals, the deciding vote, had just received, a former colleague had just received $700,000 from us in the legislature for a heating system for a private apartment complex he was building, and then he turned around and recommended a raise for us, and we used that as a reason to give ourselves a raise. Disgusting. And I've talked to a bunch of union members that have gone to meetings. They are getting offered nothing thus far, early on. I mean, they were literally offered like 3 or 4%, nothing. They are not getting anything at this point. I don't know why. We have the money. I don't know if it's vindictive because these union members have the audacity to come to the legislature
vote, sir.
After the majority leader gets to explain something that has nothing to do with the vote, I will be interrupted. I may know.
Thank you.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I do know what legislators do, and it's a lot of things, you know. So it includes a lot of outreach to constituents. I have spoken to my constituents. I did not initially favor doing this or doing this at this time. But my constituents reminded me that I've always said that we should be improving wages where we can. And we've had information brought to this body that there are people who would like to serve but would find it very difficult to just take the time, extra time, even as a second job, which it is for a lot of us. So to allow access to respond to the constituents who have said that this makes sense to them, I am happy to accept comments. I'm very happy to accept comments from union members who are not my constituents, don't live in my district. But the only reason that I heard that people said, can you do this, is will somebody tell you that it looks wrong? You know, will it look bad to somebody? And so I was encouraged to go ahead and vote yes for this. I'm going to do that. If my constituents who didn't hear it the first time I said this have problems with it, then come and, you know, let's have that discussion. But I don't think that the people that are in other districts who are doing what they're doing for their purposes can say anything about what I'm doing in relationship to the people who voted me into this office.
Raise your hand if you think we deserve a raise before the union.
You're out of order. You're out of order. Please continue with the roll call.
Roberts.
No.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls.
No.
The resolution is adopted, 12 to 11.
I'm going to give us a 5-minute recess. Thank you. Please take 5. All right, everybody, we are back.
Okay, the next resolution was pulled from consent. It's Resolution 11, confirming appointments of Montserrat Duran and Maureen Ritson-Hamilton to the Ulster County Youth Board.
Legislator Maloney.
You know, I just want to make the point that we've had it happen before. You know, we had 4 members of the Human Rights Commission, I think 3 African-Americans and a Jewish man, go public with concerns about some pretty alarming happenings inside of human rights. They were all called liars on the front page of the paper by our exec. We never talked to them. They quit. We replaced them. It seems to happen. I just mentioned another not-for-profit board that we oversee being kind of attacked for doing what he felt was right. Now we have this change out. We never got a lot of explanation on it. And then we had board members leave. And I just think if we're going to be a real body of government, there has to be exit interviews. We have to sometimes look into. Otherwise, what is the point of this? When we appoint these board members, everybody celebrates them. They're great, aren't they? As soon as those people go onto this board where they're supposed to oversee what's going on, as soon as they take issue to the point where sometimes the only thing they have left is to drop off the board, we don't let the door hit you on the way out. We'll appoint and celebrate the next people. At some point, we have to stop being such rubber stamps, and we have to look into some of these things. I'm not saying it would have resulted in anything different, but I am saying we really didn't do much. And if we're going to respect these board members, we need to respect them when they do their job and take issue with things that are going on these boards. But to this point, we haven't. So as a statement, no. As to what I'd like to see, and like I said, if I had an iota of power influence in this legislature, I would make sure when people are fired, when board members, especially multiple board members, step up and say they're taking issue with something that's going on, people we approve, we need to talk to them, we need to get to the bottom of it. A lot of it could be done in an executive session if need be, but we need to be the big boys and girls we're supposed to be, especially at this pay rate.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're a short yes.
Short yes, 1 no. Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted, 22-1. The next resolution was also pulled from consent, and that is Resolution 12, confirming reappointment of Renee Falanga Brenner to the Ulster County Youth Board.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're a short yes.
Short yes, 1 no. Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted, 22-1. The next resolution is Resolution 19, amending the 2025-2030 Capital Improvement Program, amending Capital Project Number 677, Golden Hill Transportation Improvements, amending the 2025 Ulster County Operating Budget, amending the 2025 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works.
Legislator Maloney.
I've been a no on everything with this project. From the very beginning, this billion-dollar corporation, which has not done anything they said they were going to do, they originally got the contract and won the bid because they were the ones that were going to put more skin in the game, and they haven't. They haven't done the demo. I don't know where the gate's at, this traffic situation. And on top of it, because they're accepting all of these state grants and all the state aid, it becomes a lottery. So at the end of all this, our water structure, our water infrastructure, our traffic, the school district's not going to get nearly the tax dollars they need to support the children that are going to be going to added to the already troublesome city of Kingston, like all these school districts, money-wise. We'll probably have to raise taxes. And like I said, at the end of it, we're just going to move people in from all over the state.
It doesn't fix, if anything, it hurts the housing crisis. But we need to do something in order to justify our existence. And we'll turn around and say that we're the reason there's more houses. 5 years from now, there's going to be an apartment complex. Nobody from Ulster County is going to be moving into it, but we'll be able to say we did something about housing by subsidizing a $1 billion developer, screwing our school district and the residents of the city of Kingston and the county.
Legislator Collins.
My understanding is that this particular housing project is not one that has a national lottery. Can someone clarify that for me?
Legislator Maloney.
By state municipal law, if you accept, and we do have some lawyers here, but if you accept the state tax credits, which this developer is accepting, you by law, the state is not going to give you money to build something that everyone in the state does not have access to. So by law, as soon as you, the developer, which they have, is accepted, they've accepted quite a bit from the state, once they've accepted that, by law, it has to be a statewide lottery. And with housing the way it is, you better believe there's going to be a lot of people on that list from all over the state. So we will not help people in Ulster County that are now struggling and in shelters. We just won't.
Legislator Nolan.
I agree that the funding sources for this project generate the lottery system. My understanding is that it is not usually the majority of places that go to people from outside an area. So the statement to move from the fact that there's a lottery to there won't be any housing provided for Ulster County is just to take an example of a small percentage, a relatively small percentage, and turn it into the whole thing. So it's just not accurate. In addition, any other project around the state that has this similar type of funding would be open to residents from our county. Why don't they all go to those projects? Because most people will want to live in the area they've been living in. So the same thing that keeps our residents from applying to other projects around the state will likely cause most of the applicants for this housing to be from our area. To say that we don't want to have this project because it has this lottery component is to me to say we want the perfect project and we're not going to take a very good project because it's not perfect. I don't think we have the luxury to do that. I also have been given information in committees and as is reflected in the upcoming resolutions that also deal with this project that the developer has been putting in the things that were expected to be put in and has increased some of the potential funding if there are shortfalls because of changes in federal dollars coming in. So I think somebody can go try to find a better project than this, but it's a very good one. It's going to add housing units, and it's adding value. And some of these resolutions do address the gate situation, which the neighbors had asked to have addressed. So there's been cooperation with the community. It's a very good project, and I'm very happy that we're going to be moving forward with it.
Legislator Collins for a second time.
Yeah, so it's these lottery systems, they're required to be put in place for state or federal money. So this is a federal, this is a state lottery, not a federal money, not a federal lottery, as was first said here. The other thing that happens with these, and I've seen this, we've seen this in the Woodstock REPCO project, is the initial lottery may pull people from out of the area, but the people that end up on the queue are all local people. And so over time, it becomes a housing project where the local people get moved in. So it's, you know, as Legislator Nolan said, it may not be perfect, but it definitely is better than zero, and it definitely is going to help housing in the county, and it's definitely going to help mitigate the housing crisis.
Legislator Maloney for a second time, followed by Legislator Stewart.
Not sure the logistics I just heard, but it's literally borderline illegal. There is laid out language on how it has to be a legitimate lottery. If they're separating after the fact or something, it's probably not legal what was possibly being put forth there. The people of Glen Street, the neighbors, to a person. There is not one household on Glen Street, one neighbor that is happy with the gate situation, which is happy with the traffic, which is happy with the runoff. They are every single person, every single household on Glen Street is completely against everything that is and unhappy with what the county has done and what Penrose has done thus far. And it will I talk to people every day that are on lists, lotteries for the surrounding counties. When you're homeless or you're about to be homeless, you'll go anywhere. The idea that we are going to end up with more than 1% of Ulster County, if that, in this is very unrealistic. And all these other reasons I just named make it a project that we probably should just have stepped back from. First and foremost, let's deal with short-term rentals. Secondly, I'll just say it because I'm the rotten guy that I am. 10,000 people a day for 4 years coming across both our south and some across our northern border have resulted in a housing stock that has been depleted. It is the driving force behind our housing crisis. You know how I know? Because it's obvious and it's called math. 10,000 people a day. Do they live in the clouds? Where do they live? As buses and planes come into New York State hourly for 4 years, and we're just going to enrich developers to get ourselves out of this mess? Years from now, we are going to be in such worse shape because of the knee-jerk, short-sighted, uninnovative, lazy approach that government has taken to this housing crisis.
Legislator Stewart. Comptroller Gallagher last week put a post on Facebook, and according to Freddie Mac, of the 384 metro areas in the United States, Kingston, New York, had the biggest increase in home prices in the entire country. And contrary to what my friend and colleague just said, the reason why our housing costs are so dramatic is not because of immigrants. It is because A, Ulster County is a desirable place to live, and B, there is a metro area of 10 million people 90 miles south of here that recognize that Ulster County is a desirable place to live. These people have deep pockets, and they are moving here in large numbers, both as weekend homes and as places to raise their family. That is what is causing Ulster County's housing crisis. I think that there's definitely an economic factor, the law of supply and demand. And when you have great demand and little supply, housing costs go up. The only way that we can get out of this housing crisis is to build more housing. And that is exactly what we are trying to do with this development, in this Penrose development on Golden Hill. Yes, there may be some issues, and I am not one who advocates handing over money to large corporations, but we cannot let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And like I said, the only way that we're going to get out of this crisis is if we actually start to build stuff. This project is underway, and it has the support of this body and of our county executive and of elected officials up the chain. We need to proceed with this, and we need to finish this, and we need to proceed with other projects. So for this reason, I support these resolutions.
Legislator Collins, you need to borrow time. From McCullough, yes. And then I've got you, Legislator Harmon, on deck.
So the reason that the waiting list tends to be local people is that people that aren't local drop off the waiting list. They decline. So it becomes a waiting list of local people. And as my colleague, Legislator Stewart, said, the way to get out of the housing crisis is to build houses. the only way to get out of the housing crisis. It's to build houses. We as a county cannot ourselves build houses. We just can't do it. It's not legal for us to build houses ourselves. We have to work through agencies, nonprofits to do that. This is the only way that we can support the building of more houses. So as, again, my colleague, Legislator Stewart, said, let's not, you know, be the enemy of, let's not let perfect be the enemy of, I forget. Good, thank you very much.
Did I say that correctly, too?
No,
I
screwed it up. You got it right. But we need to do this project. Thank you.
So I've got Legislator Harmon followed by Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you, Chair. When we were doing our due diligence in the Housing and Transportation Committee, we learned that in terms of these lotteries, preference is given when there are specific circumstances, such as domestic violence cases. So it's not just sort of come one, come all from anywhere forever, right? That's not an accurate portrayal. And those would be instances where people would really need urgently to move to a different location. I think we should be bearing that in mind. And anything else I say would be repetitive, so that's enough.
Legislator Hewitt, please.
Thank you. I think it's very easy to blame our problems on others, like immigrants. And throughout history, we've seen powerful societies blame their problems on others. When immigrants come here to work hard and create families and lives for themselves, they help improve our country. And that's been the history of this whole country for almost 250 years. Also, it's interesting because recent studies on population shows that most developed countries' population are decreasing, except for the United States, which is growing at 0.1%, at the lowest since this country started, only because of immigrants. It's the only reason we have, instead of negative growth, we have what's called steady state of growth.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Gavaris.
We have a short yes with two no's, Legislator Roberts and Maloney. Yes, and corrected, one abstention.
The resolution is adopted 19-2 with one abstention, Legislator Litz.
3-1-3.
Got it. Yep, 19-3. I did that math real quick and I said, that's not mathing. 19-3 with one abstention, Legislator Litz. The next resolution is Resolution 20, approving the execution of a contract for $489,597 entered into by the County Jewelry Excavating, Inc., Department of Public Works.
On the resolution?
We're short yes.
Short yes, one abstention, Legislator Litz, and one no, Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 21-1 with one abstention, Legislator Litz. Resolution 21, approving the execution of a contract for $300,000 entered into by the County Golden Hill Owner LLC, Department of Planning.
On the resolution, Legislator Collins.
I just want to be clear for people who haven't read the actual resolution. This is a $300,000 we're receiving. This is a receiving contract, not a spending contract.
On the resolution.
We're short yes.
Short yes, one abstention, Legislator Litz, and one no, Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 21-1 with one abstention, Legislator Litz. Resolution 22, approving the execution of a contract for $679,100 entered into by the County Penrose, New York Developer LLC, Department of Planning.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're short yes.
Short yes, one no, Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. The next resolution is a bond resolution, Resolution 36, authorizing heating, ventilating.
Sorry. Legislator Stewart.
I just wanted to add one quick comment in regards to the amendments on Golden Hill, if I could.
Sure.
I just wanted to point out that one of the reasons why it is so important for the county to work with not-for-profits and private developers is because the only thing that that the market is building in Ulster County are $1.2 million on 4 acres. That is what the market wants. And it is super important for us to address our housing crisis by building housing that is affordable and, you know, available to the average person. So that is why county government needs to step in and assist with developing such projects like this. So thank
and
you.
And I encourage legislators who are interested in this conversation to attend the Housing and Transportation of the new Standing Committee meetings, please.
Resolution 36, authorizing heating, ventilating, and air conditioning improvements to various buildings at Ulster County Community College campus at SUNY Ulster in and for the County of Ulster, New York at a maximum estimated cost of $500,000 and authorizing the issuance of $500,000 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
I'm going to be a yes. Normally I'm a no. I have to look into whether or not there's another way to achieve a grant like this without the bonding process. I'm guessing there is, but we were told there isn't, so we have to look into it. But for now, we have to bond, even though we've got $1 billion we're sitting on.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
No.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel. And Walls.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. The next resolution, also a bond, Resolution 38, authorizing the purchase of emergency preparedness equipment for the Ulster County Community College campus at SUNY Ulster, New York, and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $1,500,000, and authorizing the issuance of $1,500,000 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
No.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. The next resolution was pulled from consent. It's Resolution 47, approving the execution of a contract for $248,275 entered into by the County Medium Giant Company, Inc., DBA, Medium Giant Department of Tourism.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're short yes with one no, Legislator Gavaris.
I believe we're short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 21-2. The next resolution also pulled from consent was Resolution 53, authorizing the County of Ulster to dedicate the second floor of the County Office Building in memory of Nina Posterpack.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, sir. I had a conversation with Dwayne Posterpack, Nina's husband. He is very thankful and grateful that we're moving forward in this direction and sends his love to everybody.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney.
Just a quick question to the chair. Is the building off the table? Or are we going to name floors and
that
the building?
That was never entered. That's my understanding.
There was never a resolution submitted to name the entire building.
We had a public hearing, though. And then the person that put it in did not yet.
That was the executive.
Correct.
Okay, so now we're just to the second floor.
Correct, yes, sir. On the resolution.
We're a short yes.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 23-0. The next resolution is Resolution 58, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an amendment to the agreement with the Ontiora School Central School District to provide one additional deputy sheriff as school resource officer, Ulster County Sheriff.
On the resolution.
Just before I call out the vote, you know, I was the only no vote in committee. I believe I'm going to be the only no vote tonight. I just wanted to explain why I vote no on this. And I'll give a good example. Because I am, you know, held it from consent, we had a long conversation in caucus about it and about how law enforcement is being used and how law enforcement might change with the new federal administration and concerns that, you know, could come from that. Ultimately, you know, I know our caucus is going to support this. I know the other caucus is going to support this. I think in many ways it should be up to the school boards, and the school board did ask for this. But I think it's important to always have these conversations, particularly when we're talking about police and schools. And that I just wanted to explain my no vote in committee, why we held it in non-consent, and why I'll be voting no on it in a moment when I call the vote out.
Legislator Maloney.
As a father of four, I'm very much, unfortunately, very much for resource officers in schools. I think they're needed, and I actually think my experience has been they become a lot more than just security. They become friends and mentors to a lot of the kids, and certainly in my experience. That being said, I have no fear whatsoever that the great men and women in uniform, some of them here, are going to act any differently, no matter who our president is. But let's throw it out there. And thirdly, I will say that I'm going to be a statement no, because I know it's going to pass, because I'm going to be a statement no on every sheriff resolution with regards to the sheriff's department going forward, because of two reasons. The main reason is we still have not paid the UCSEA, our men and women in the jail, and they need to be. Their contract is up, and I am waiting to see that. The second one is we still have not brought the sheriff in to talk to us about his refusal to work with Immigration and Customs Enforcement that has undoubtedly made our county an unsafe place. We do not tell Immigration and Customs Enforcement if we have someone in custody. We won't even tell them if they ask. If an ICE detainer request is given to Ulster County, it is put in a file and ignored, and we at times have let dangerous.
You're going afield. So we're voting on a SRO for Ontiora School District.
And that's I'm a statement no on everything with
that's,
the sheriff's
that's
department.
That's the resolution before. Thank you, sir.
And thank you for always treating me differently
Legislator
than you
Nolan,
treat the Democratic
Legislator
caucus.
Nolan.
I'm happy to support this because I have been informed about the value that comes from having school resource officers who are trained through the programs that we offer here in Ulster County. And so I think we have examples here of how to do this right. And we do get the good result of children and the law enforcement working together and creating a community. I think it's really important to maintain that, and I think it's wonderful that our sheriff's office contributes to that.
Thank you. On the resolution?
Short yes with one no, Legislator Uchitel.
Short yes, one no, Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 21-2. The next four resolutions were pulled from consent, starting with 59. Amending the 2025 Ulster County operating budget for the purchase of Oracle Core Data Care Coordination Solution, Ulster County Sheriff.
Legislator Maloney.
Statement no on the next four. Pay the COs, make the sheriff speak to his policy.
Legislator Hansett.
Just a reminder that this is a grant.
Thank you. On the resolution?
On the resolution, we're a short yes.
Short yes, one no. Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. Resolution 60, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $20,404, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county. Idemia Identity and Security USA, LLC, Ulster County Sheriff.
On the resolution.
Short yes.
Short yes, one no. Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. Resolution 61, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $24,705, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, OCV, LLC, Ulster County Sheriff.
On the resolution.
Short yes, one no. Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. Resolution 62, approving the execution of a contract for $89,831 entered into by the County Black Creek Integrated Systems Corp., Ulster County Sheriff.
On the resolution?
We're short yes.
Short yes, one no. Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 22-1. The next resolution is Resolution 69. Adopting proposed local law number 13 of 2024, a local law amending Article 2 of the Administrative Code for the County of Ulster to remove certain employment restrictions.
Legislator Maloney.
So this is an old law that's on the books. Years ago, before we went to the charter form of government, where we have an executive and then a legislature, we just had a legislature. The legislature were literally department heads. They did everything. They appointed everyone. So we had a beautiful law that said we could not appoint ourselves, other elected officials, to highly paid appointed jobs. So because it was before we went to the charter form of government, where we don't really appoint many people anymore, the exec does, it did not apply to the exec. We saw former legislative colleague leave her office early. We were immediately told the day she left that she was getting a job. That ended up happening. There was large debate, people remember. So I put in a resolution that would update that law. This is a perfect example of Ulster County government. I put up a law to just update an existing good government law that would stop us from appointing ourselves and other elected officials to highly paid political appointee jobs. The legislator's reaction is to vote that down and then do away with the old law that still restricted us to appoint the few appointments we had. So that's what happened. I put up a good government law to update and not be able to give ourselves jobs, and my colleague's reaction is to vote that down and do away with the old law, too, while we were at it. That's my colleagues. That's Ulster County government. That's why I can't wait to be done with this nonsense, because it's just silliness. Every month I come up here, and it's just romper room nonsense. It's just silliness, pretzel logic. That's what happens up here. That is what happens up here, and they all feel good about it. The bubble. I wish I could just pop it, but I can't, so the nonsense continues.
Legislator Collins, followed by Nolan, followed by Stewart.
Let's talk about the actual history. The actual history is that in the past, before we changed forms of government, the legislature appointed people to these jobs. The legislature no longer appoints people to executive jobs. We confirm them. The executive appoints them. It's a change in government and a change in how people get the jobs. We can confirm them, but we don't appoint them. Also, because we can confirm them or not confirm them, if we feel that someone is appointed to a job by the executive, we can say no if we feel it's inappropriate. So there's no reason for this to be in the law anymore. There's no reason for this law to exist anymore. It's really no different than the president appointing a secretary, appointing a senator to a secretary position. We don't control who gets these jobs. We only confirm. So this law is no longer necessary and no longer needed under this form of government.
Legislator Nolan?
Yes, I agree with both my colleagues who have described the existing policy as outdated. And the reason that this is an improvement is that there's no real basis for preventing mobility and expanded service from somebody who has served in the legislature. We don't have any state secrets or any thing that we control or manage that would be harmed by somebody moving from this body into another position in another branch of Ulster County. We're all on the same team. So somebody can move from playing offense to playing defense. And if they understand more about one portion of the government, they bring a better value to that new position. It's also very arbitrary if you are going to say there should be some amount of time. You know, what would that be? 1 year, but somebody could, a position could open up at 6 months. And what would be the difference between 6 months and 1 year? There's no difference. They're bringing the same skill set. So to just remove a remnant of a pre-charter way of doing things from what we're doing now under a different form of government is actually good government.
Legislator Stewart, followed by Maloney for a second time.
I actually sided with Legislator Maloney on this topic earlier. I think that even though there has been a change in government, and I realize that it's, you know, that we no longer appoint these people ourselves, I think the optics on this are terrible. And we live in an age where, you know, people think that government is out only looking out for its own interests. And I think that this sort of situation feeds into that narrative. And I think it's important that, you know, we try to combat that narrative when we can. And like I said, even though it's really more optics than an actual problem with our legislating, for that reason, you know, the fact that optics often become reality, at least in people's minds, I'm voting against this.
Legislator Maloney for a second time.
I just heard there's no state secrets. I'm not sure why last year we voted against ourselves having access to the financial system. We literally did that. A policy that would give legislators access to the county financial system was voted against because we couldn't handle what was in there. But now there's no state secrets. As far as using the word team, it makes me very uncomfortable. We are not on a team, everybody. This is not a team. We are independent contractors that are elected to represent the people that sit over there, not in here. Nobody likes the idea of their child getting out of college, wanting to stay in the county, going for a job, or their husband going for a job, their wife going for a job, and finding out later that it was an elected official that left office early. I talked to a couple of people, actual medical doctors that were overly qualified compared to our former colleague who we gave the job to. They told me and other legislators about how they weren't even called back, they didn't get a follow-up interview, all these different things. These people were disgusted with county government, highly qualified people. We went so far because we wanted to hire an elected official that the exec had a relationship with, somebody that actually helped her get elected, used her legislative title in mailers that went out to support her for executive, then turns around and gets a job. We went as far as to then have to hire a firm or another medical doctor because that position is required to sign off on documentation with a certain kind of license that she doesn't have, that some of the people that we're interviewing did. That's how far we went to hire a friend, a colleague, and an elected official. And a law that says if you're an elected official, you take the oath to be a true elected official, that you can't go and take an appointed political position inside the county, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to have a law like that on the books. I have a feeling that our constituents would not agree. Well, there's certain constituents that might, but the rest of them wouldn't.
Legislator Nolan for a second time.
Yeah, I just don't accept that any single legislative colleague knows who the right person to have been hired is, especially since we weren't a part of that process, which was extremely rigorous as it was described to me. So I think that the person who, I don't want to go back to talking about a situation in which somebody actually complied with the existing law. That the person that I believe is being referenced was gone from this body for over a year before taking a position, so would have complied. That's part of the issue. Is it's just it is basically putting a arbitrary period of time between the time somebody does one thing of service for Ulster County and then comes back and wants to do another form of service for Ulster County. I think it's fantastic for people to want to serve.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're a short yes with two no's, legislators Stewart and Donaldson.
Short no.
The resolution is adopted 12 to 11. The last resolution was pulled from consent as well. That's 71, confirming the appointment of John Stegmeier as assigned council administrator.
Legislator Maloney.
I'm going to be a yes, but I'm very concerned about the public defender's office and these ATBs. When you don't have the money to have a defense attorney or a family court attorney, there's times we either don't have enough public defenders or there's a conflict of the public defender's office. So they go to the 18B list and they hire, we pay $158 an hour. These individuals are, some of them are taking too many cases, and some of them just don't care about the people they're representing. And I have watched men and women over the past couple of months, you know, face jail time they don't deserve, lose their kids. It's and have lawyers. I was out in the hallway at family court a week or two ago with multiple caseworkers that were more frustrated than me. Caseworkers that ultimately told an individual in front of me, fire your attorney and represent yourself if you have to. This individual doesn't even talk to these people. He literally, the judge is there, court starts, and he's looking to his client, does not return calls. God knows what he's billing, but this is, it's disgusting. It's really disgusting. I got a promise from Mr. Stegmeier and County Executive Capuano that they're going to take a couple of calls tomorrow and set certain individuals up with new lawyers. But this is a serious problem, and once again, it's just like these individuals in the shelters. When you go to the public defender's office, these are the residents of our county that are the most down and out of anyone, and no one is paying any attention. I talked to a woman that runs that has a lot to do with family court in Dutchess County, used to work in Orange County. She said the judges over there, with what I am witnessing, would actually ask the attorneys and the clients in the middle of court, why don't you have anything for them? Why are you looking at them? She says it's happened, and it keeps the public defenders and the 18B lawyers on their toes. But I'm telling you, I mean, I know people aren't going to do it, but go to family court and witness what is going on there sometimes. But it is – it's I don't even have the words, the frustration that I have – witnessing what some people have gone through just the last couple of months. Multiple people. There's one 18B lawyer in particular that seems to be the worst of all of them, and he has the most cases. Double, triple booked. He'll have three and four cases at 9 o'clock in the morning, back to back to back to back, and he's not even speaking to his clients before the court goes. He's looking at it. The judge is asking questions, and he's looking to his client. Then he refuses to talk to the person out in the hallway. And it's not just me. These are caseworkers that are beyond frustrated. One caseworker actually, I believe, got reprimanded because she had to stand up in court the other day when this lawyer was not speaking for his client and say, hold on, no, this individual is doing things. He has done this. He has done this. It was insane to witness, and then the behavior out in the hallway, so frustrating. And once again, you know, the least of us get the short end of the stick, and where are we?
Legislator Walls.
With all due respect to my colleague, family court is not open to the general public.
And I wasn't there? Are you saying I wasn't there?
No, out of order, out of order. Legislator Kovacs.
Thank you. As a past president of the Ulster County Bar Association, I feel I need to weigh in here. I know many of the public defenders and the ATB attorneys in Ulster County, and they're excellent attorneys who work very hard for their clients. Are there some bad apples? Sure there are. But there are ways to discipline attorneys who do not follow through with their clients, who do not advocate for their clients, who do not communicate with their clients, and that's not for us. That is for the Character and Fitness Committee at the bar, at the Appellate Division. Nothing to do with what we do here in county government. I believe John Stegmaier is an excellent choice to serve as coordinator, and I think we do need a full-time person handling this job, so I support this resolution.
Before I go to Legislator Maloney again, could I get you to please read the title of this resolution? We are going to stay on topic.
Confirming the appointment of John Stegmaier as assigned council administrator.
Legislator Maloney, if you will speak to that, I'll call on you.
That is exactly, I was just going to point that out to my colleague. We are literally appointing the individual that is going to oversee the 18B process. How is what I'm talking about and the 18B lawyers not living up? I just had 5-6 questions in a back and forth in caucus where no one else had a lot of questions for the individual. How is that not on topic? This is the individual that's overseeing this process that is failing people. And when something like this comes forward, especially from somebody that has brought all these things forward that turn out to be true, and the two reactions, the knee-jerk reactions is to call me a liar and say I wasn't even there. How about I knew the individual that was in court? I was sitting right there with the caseworkers. In court. That's one. And then secondly, the knee-jerk reaction is another lawyer to go, no, the lawyers are good. Lawyers are good. Everything's great. That's the problem. That's why these things continue to happen, because nobody wants to do a deep dive. You want me to get the caseworkers? I'll bring them in. They'll
Point
probably come to public comment.
Call on Legislator Nolan. Thank you, Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I think that we do have a situation where this is the topic of this new assigned council administrator and the workings of that system, and to identify a problem could be helpful. To allow the new administrator to have a chance to fix the problem, I think, would be more helpful, especially since we think this is a highly qualified, very thoughtful, very careful person. So to bring the energy of all of the negativity to confirming the person that we're hoping is going to do, a better job or at least a good job here, I think it leads me to think that we are off of a helpful focus, even if it's technically on the topic.
On the resolution,
we are a short yes.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 23-0.
I want to take a moment to really thank everybody for your extreme patience this evening. I really appreciate you sticking with us. We are now moving into the public comment period that is on matters not currently before the legislature. I'd like to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak, and this period is on issues not before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone please keep their comments respectful. Clerk Fabella, do you have anyone signed up to speak?
We do. We have 4 speakers signed up, and the first speaker is Randy Kelder.
Good evening. My name is Randy Kelder, and I am here representing an organization I co-found, in loving memory of my brother Ryan, raising your awareness about narcotics. You might know us as the Ryan House. And I'm here on behalf of our 15 dedicated board members. We are not here seeking funding. We are here demanding accountability. I stand before this legislative body to address the findings outlined in the recent County Comptroller's report concerning Somati. The report has once again raised some serious concerns that demand swift action. The issue is deeply troubling. Public funds intended to support individuals battling addiction are being mismanaged. Critical resources or life-saving programs are being undermined. with reports of unauthorized withdrawals and financial irregularities pointing to a pattern of negligence. Despite these concerns and public outcry, there has been no thorough investigation. Even more troubling, the same issues were flagged last year, yet the legislature awarded the contract without any action. This inaction raises serious questions. Is justice being compromised by political favoritism? Are donors and backroom deals shielding this organization from scrutiny? The entire legislature must conduct an independent review of these financial practices, not just one single legislator on the board. Turning a blind eye betrays public trust and disrespects those of us who work tirelessly to support those individuals that are struggling with addiction. Unlike the organization in question, we are entirely self-sustaining. We are not here for your funding. We are here for the truth. We demand transparency, accountability, and integrity. Our program changes lives, and we understand what responsible stewardship of resources look like. This is about more than us. It's about the people of this county, especially those battling addiction. They deserve leadership that values outcomes over optics, people over politics, truth over corruption. The time for action is now. Investigate, audit, hold those responsible accountable. The county comptroller's report has once again raised serious concerns. The public is watching, and we want to know how you are going to respond. Only through transparency and integrity can trust be restored. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Meg Carey.
Hello. My name is Meg Carey, and I live in the town of Hurley. I support the Catskill Mountain Railroad and its plan for a 1.7-mile extension. Recently, the Director of Tourism in Ulster County said that the Catskill Mountain Railroad, rail explorers, and the Ashokan Rail Trail are all vital to tourism in Ulster County. Railroads have had a dramatic role in the history of the Catskills. Our local heritage railroad is a county treasure and is worthy of admiration, honor, and widespread support. Many community members now deeply regret the demolition of the old Midtown Post Office and urban renewal in the Rondout area. What's gone is gone forever. Let's learn from past mistakes. Let's value the Catskill Mountain Railroad and keep it on the UND tracks all the way to Basin Road. On December 15, 2015, this legislature unanimously, 23-0, passed its policy for rail with trail. And here is what I said 10 years ago. I want to express my appreciation and thanks to the Ulster and Delaware Corridor Advisory Committee for their cooperative accomplishment. I attended most of their meetings over the last 6 months, and I can say from firsthand experience that this committee stayed on course and was rarely sidetracked. They let off some steam, but never blew their stack. They made the grade, and now rails and trails can hit the road together, and that's the ticket to success. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker signed up is Henry Gage. Sally is also signed up.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Dr. Sally Warren, co-founder of Bill Green, now based in Kingston. We're a tax-exempt 501c3 nonprofit, where we continue to lead the New York State industrial hemp community working group developing a statewide plan in collaboration with 5 universities. We're here with an important update and also speaking to the important messages that you were giving earlier. While on this initiative with hemp, we've repeatedly encountered challenges. The local governments are understaffed and overburdened, which certainly listening today seems to be very evident. The clerks and administrators struggle to keep up with paperwork. This creates an interest in AI solutions. Unfortunately, many digital tools are expensive and require too much setup and use AI to prioritize automation over human oversight, replacing, not supporting, local expertise. Ulster County has the opportunity to lead the region in a smart governance, workforce innovation, and digital human rights. The research that we've been doing shows that 70% of projects fail without proper project management. Through a collaboration with Maya Data, our other company, we're working to offer human-supervised AI task management system that includes a public benefit at its core. We are the first and only non-profit-led initiative to integrate public benefit contracts into its software design.
Yes. My name is Henry Gage. I'm co-founder of Build Green Now, and I'm a senior project manager. I'm also a senior business analyst. I'm one of those kinds of individuals who did work at like Morgan Stanley and helped them replace the back office. I came up with a plan on the first day. I know this field. I've written algorithms. A Washtell algorithm is being used in Europe, one that I wrote. The reason we're here is because, one, Build Green Now is still in existence. As you mentioned, we got our 501c3 status from the government, from the IRS. However, the challenge that we're seeing is that there's a need to really accelerate the work. If you were to look at the 2030 plan, there's a need to be insulating on the order of 2,000 houses every year in Ulster County and 200,000 houses a year in all of New York. That's a $2 billion a year business opportunity. But the best part about it is it's cash flow positive, because for every house that you insulate, the person is more comfortable, and you're saving energy, expanding the capacity of your grid. When we saw that, we knew we needed to work and head in that direction. We decided to also collaborate with our partners in Puerto Rico, and they've actually made an amazing offer to us. So they've asked us to help them open a building science center there. They've told us we can work with 500 students. They've said you can have 14 acres of land, buildings, et cetera. We said yes to that offer and want you to know that. But at the same time, we love the work that we're doing here in Ulster County. And so what we're saying is that there's an opportunity to build a science center here to do the exact same thing. And so what we want to leave you with is that this tool is necessary, because the only way I can see as a project manager of managing work at that scale is to create the platform that we're offering to you right now to collaborate with you on, to give you a chance to design the way you prefer. This is a system that will allow us to basically take projects and trade them as on a market. So if you want to do zero waste here, you can spread it throughout the entire county. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else here who would like to speak to the legislature on topics that were not in front of the legislature this evening? Yes. Could you please state your name for the record?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Ryan Schumann. I am the president of the Ulster County Sheriff's Department Public Benevolent Association. I want to address a couple of things tonight. One, the elephant in the room. You guys gave yourself a raise, and I implore you for that, because you do a lot of excellent work in this county. You deserve that. I have not heard from any legislator demanding that the executive settle any of these union contracts other than we believe the unions deserve a raise and we will settle it once it's in front of us. Also, my union was not mentioned at all tonight. We are also out of contract, as well as every other union in this county. We are told that Baker Tilly hasn't come up yet. How much money did you guys approve for Baker Tilly before they come up with an answer? Also, it's proprietary information, so we can't check where their information is coming from. It's easy. We know that Ulster County is one of the most underpaid counties in the state, but yet we have one of the highest increases in housing, which means our property taxes are going up. Today, the Daily Freeman says, Mark Gallagher, we have a great deal of tax, sales tax revenue brought in. Why are we not settling with our unions? Again, I implore each one of you to ask these questions of the county exec. And please, the men and women of Ulster County that work here that are not elected deserve a raise. I'm speaking for everybody as an Ulster County resident, not just the president of the PBA. I'm also an Ulster County resident with family ties back to the settling of Mount St. Alphonsus. That's how long my family's been here. Please do your jobs and implore them to meet with us and also hold Baker Tilly accountable for their work that we have already paid them for in this county. Our citizens deserve better. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak to the legislature this evening? Okay, I'm going to go here first, and then I'll...
Good evening, Chad McPeak. I came here for various reasons to talk, but I was inspired to change my initial approach because I wasn't sure exactly how to come about it. So recently somebody came up here and talked about some discrepancies within a program that is outlined to help people with addiction and recovery and stuff like that. And I'm not referencing the Ryan House. So I'm sure everyone read the paper and saw what came up, and I was actually just amazed with the names that were associated with it and the illegality that that was present. And because I remember this person always saying the illegality of it. I knew it was illegal, but we won't go there with that person. But I will say that I am a Saugerties resident. Knights of Columbus is what the Ryan House used to be. I used to go there for pancake breakfasts and so on and so forth. And now I go there for community functions to support people fighting addiction, whether it's families that have lost somebody, somebody that's struggling, somebody who was the demise of society who is now a productive member. And, you know, I laugh because there was board meetings prior to being accepted within Saugerties. They were concerned that they were going to have people gathering at this place looking to better their lives, right? And a short period before that, it was an area that was housed with people that would get wasted and drive out every day, but nobody had a problem with it. So I found the irony of it. But, you know, I appreciate the Ryan House for the fact that it is sole funded as a direct result that of a family that had a loss. And, you know, and I'm proud to be a person of Saugerties that has the ability to be part of it, you know, when I'm able to. And, you know, I'd like to speak very loudly that I'd like to see the Samadhi House looked into because that's not the first time something bad has happened. I could go into a lot further detail about other buildings that they've owned, buildings that they owned, buildings they own now, and places that they previously housed that they were forced out of because of actions and stuff that was being taken care of or being taken place there. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. And could you please state your name for the record? Into the microphone. Thank you.
Sorry, guys. I am freezing. My name is Tanae Wood. I've spoken a couple times before. I'm going to keep it very brief. One, you can't live off of non-perishables alone, even water expires. Just putting that out there. Two, maybe you should have some people that actually go into, you know, the community and see how people have to live. Like, stay in a warming shelter, see how much fun it is. Or let's go to a children's home and see how much fun foster kids get to have. or maybe go to like low-income housing. Stay in, you know, low-income housing for a week. See how fun that is before we, you know, say anything about it. Maybe live it or meet somebody who does. For a very diverse community, we have a very pale legislature. I just want to put that out there. So you're speaking on behalf of people that you shouldn't until you've gotten that input. Putting all of that out there. Lastly, most importantly for myself as well as all the other county workers, I hear a lot of you saying that you're going to support the raises going through once you get that lovely contract. Put your money where your mouth is. I'll believe you when it's done. Thank you.
Thank
you. Have a good night.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak this evening? Anybody else? No, you've already spoken, sir. Yeah, we're not double dipping tonight. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Anybody else who would like to speak tonight? Thank you. Okay, I'm going to move us along here. All right, I call on Legislator Donaldson to please read the names of community members who have recently passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This meeting is adjourned in the memory of Wayne T. Freer of Esopus, the lovely and wonderful Garth Hudson of Woodstock, Albert John Porowski of Marlborough, Joseph Russo of Milton, Ina Hablin of Marlborough, Josephine Marcillo of Marlborough, William Donaldson III of Milton, Ellen Liz Tort of Fort Ewan, Gerald Kelly of Slatesburg, Veronica Nelson of Highland, John Klelich of Kingston, Victoria Cooper, Kingston, Douglas Fox of Saugerties, Bert Eugene Culp of Napanock, Arthur Apollonia Jr. of Kingston, Peter B. Ferrante of New Paltz, Afia Dunn of New Paltz, Jessica Guerrero, New Paltz, Ava Giorgiano of Highland, Joseph F. DiBianca of Hyde Park, and Lawrence Marcus of Saugerties.
Thank you. Legislator Hansett.
I'd like to take a moment to speak on Wayne Freer. Wayne Freer served Ulster County with distinction for over three decades as Battalion Coordinator for Battalion 3, overseeing the fire districts of Connolly, Esopus, Highland, Marlborough, Milton, Port Ewan, Rifton, and St. Remy. His dedicated service to public safety spanned multiple roles, including Chair of the Ulster County Fire Investigation Unit, 50 years in law enforcement, comprised of time with City of Poughkeepsie Police Department, Ulster County Sheriff's Office, and the Kingston Police Department. 12 years as Director of Public Safety at SUNY Ulster, 55 years with the Esopus Fire District, life member of the Esopus Rescue Squad, and 16 years Town Councilman for the Town of Esopus. Throughout his extensive career in emergency services, Wayne left a permanent mark on multiple generations of first responders. His influence and expertise earned him profound respect from emergency service personnel, not only within Ulster County, but throughout New York State. His commitment to public safety and service to his community stands as a lasting testament to his character and dedication. Wayne, you will be missed. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. I'm going to speak on two people. Jerry Kelly leaves a legacy of kindness, generosity, and service. A devoted husband, father, and grandfather, he dedicated his life to helping others through his work in financial aid, his church, and his volunteer efforts. When I struggled to pay for college at Bard, Jerry was always there for me, ensuring I could continue my education. His kindness made all the difference for me and many others, and I'm always going to be grateful to him. Garth Hudson, a Canadian multi-instrumentalist, was best known as the keyboardist and occasional saxophonist for the band. A Woodstock resident for 50 years, he passed away at age 87 as the last surviving member of the group. Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1994, he was celebrated for his inventive, soulful playing. Upon adjournment, we will play Chest Fever, featuring his iconic Lowry organ solo. So let's take a moment to remember him and keep his loved ones in our thoughts. Legislator Clinton.
I'd like to take a moment to remember Jessica Decker Guerrero of New Paltz, a former student of mine whose service I attended today. Those who knew her, or even just knew of her, recognized her passion for advocacy and her unwavering commitment to supporting others. Jessica's own struggles deeply influenced her dedication to helping those in need, as she understood firsthand the challenges many faced. She was a fierce champion of justice, always standing up for what was right and giving selflessly to her community. Even in her passing, her generosity endured. She gave the ultimate gift as an organ donor, ensuring that her light will continue to shine through others. Her spirit, kindness, and dedication to justice will never be forgotten. May we all strive to honor the legacy of compassion and courage. Please keep her friends, family, especially her 7-year-old son, in your thoughts as we mourn her passing. Thank you.
We're going to have closing words this evening from Legislator Green.
In honor of Black History Month, I'd like to share my personal history and that of my colleagues who worked in the civil rights movement. My commitment that people be treated fairly and without prejudice or discrimination traces back to my childhood. One hot summer day, I went to the park with my dad and headed right for the sprinklers, where mostly black and brown children were playing enthusiastically, cooling off, and having a great time. Unfortunately, my father stopped me and would not let me join them. When asked why, he said it was because I could catch polio. This was before the Salk vaccine, and I knew what polio was because there was a young boy with polio in an iron lung at the school that I attended. And my immediate reaction was, well, what about these children? And my father just took me over to the park, and I worried as took me over to the playground, and then I just worried for days about this issue, but I was too young to do anything about it. So when the civil rights movement began in the 1960s, I was ready to join. At the age of 18, I helped found and became the secretary of the Bridgeport, Connecticut chapter of the Congress of Racial Equality. On a manual typewriter, I typed a letter to Dr. James Farmer, who was the founder of the Congress of Racial Equality Corps. And I asked Dr. Farmer to invite Dr. Martin Luther King, who had founded CORE based on the principles of direct nonviolent action used by Mahatma Gandhi in India. And I asked Dr. Farmer to invite Dr. King to come to Bridgeport, and he agreed. From that moment on, more than 600 people came out to a local church to hear Dr. King. And from that moment on, we were a force to be reckoned with. We joined with area labor unions to organize and attend the 1963 March on Washington for Jobs and Justice. And soon and then actively lobbied for its passage in both houses of Congress. Soon after, Lyndon Johnson, a Southern Democrat who uniquely had great integrity, signed this historic legislation into law. Although we had the same goals, the civil rights movement was very different in the North than in the South. In Bridgeport, we mainly organized rent strikes against slum landlords and tried to prevent redlining even before it became illegal. In the South, segregation was horrendous and pervasive, and the civil rights workers there faced fire hoses, police dogs, and lynchings. I would like to pause here to especially acknowledge my friend and colleague, Maud Bruce, who's the president of the Ellenville NAACP. As a teenager, Maud marched with Dr. King and 20 others in Atlanta, Georgia, and spent the night in jail. Maud recounted her experience in the documentary about the civil rights movement, Eyes on the Prize. Here in Ulster County, we connect most closely with Black history through the amazing courage and dedication to justice demonstrated by Sojourner Truth, who worked tirelessly to abolish slavery and promote women's rights. Over the years, as things seemed to steadily be improving, I took a kind of psychic sigh of relief until I read Isabel Wilkerson's book, The New Jim Crow. Then Trayvon Martin and so many others were senselessly killed, resulting in the Black Lives Matter movement. Trayvon Martin would have been 30 this month. Needless to say, there is still much to be done, especially right now. Let's not go backwards. Let's take and promote DEI training, protect immigrants, and ensure justice, including environmental and climate justice. I am very proud to live in Ulster County, where County Executive Jen Metzger, Sheriff Juan Figueroa, District Attorney Manny Nedji, and Comptroller March Gallagher, and Chief Diversity Officer Essie Lewis, and the entire Ulster County Legislature actively promote diversity, equity, and inclusion for all. As Dr. King's words remind us, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. And here, a final reminder by this visionary leader, I say to you, I have also decided to stick with love, for I know that love is ultimately the only answer to humanity's problems. Thank you.
Legislator Green, thank you. The next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on Tuesday, March 18th, 2025 at 7 p.m. in the Legislative Chambers, 6th floor, Ulster County Office Building, 244 Fair Street, Kingston, New York. Resolution deadline is Wednesday, February 19th, 2025. I'd like to ask for a motion to adjourn.
I will make the motion for adjourning this session.
Is there a second? All in favor? Any opposed? This meeting is adjourned. Oh, yeah, I pulled it out. I had to cut things down. It was getting too long. I know.